about. Welcome to the Battle Royale, right here, right now. Operation Soaring Falcon is in its final stages.
It's time to settle this.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G. Ah!
We've got Snooki.
What do you mean, psycho? I waited for you. What are you talking about? You're so mean. I hate you. You're so mean. You're so mean. What are you talking about? I love you. What is wrong with you? I need you.
We've got Snooki.
He actually speaks well English.
And now.
There is no room in the workplace for behavior that is personally intimidating or sexually offensive.
How about we start with a small toss salad?
Our feature presentation.
What?
Morning, everybody.
Nothing?
Talking food with Dr. House.
Sure.
Exactly.
Morning, everybody. It's a brand new Kevin DeBean show. It's Tuesday morning. What's happening?
Hey, party people.
I didn't think Lisa was going to make it today. Yesterday, she had an upset stomach. I was like, oh, no, here we go.
I was building it up.
It's that time of year.
I left a little early. Yeah. What do you mean that time of year? Just people get sick?
Everyone around me, everyone that I know is sick almost.
Oh, really?
Dude. Yeah.
A lot of my family, a lot of my friends. We had a big charity meeting last night. A lot of people just...
not doing well.
Trying their best to look like they're doing well, but not doing well.
Well, I got a lot of sleep, and I feel good.
Fantastic.
Thank you.
It sucks the most when Lisa's out because all of her replacements are terrible.
No, they're not. But so
they're not?
Most of them are.
I never listen to them. I don't know.
It's hard to replace her, no question.
Right. None of them are Lisa, though. That's my point.
Agreed. Yeah.
As far as I'm concerned, she's irreplaceable.
Thank you, Pete.
Hey, I take you to the great state of Iowa, one of my favorite places in the Union, to Bettendorf, a town I don't believe I've been to. Did you know Bettendorf, Iowa, is the 50th largest city in Iowa? I did not. Well, anyway, they're in the news because a bunch of employees at a QC Mart, which is a convenience store chain, have taken their boss to court, claiming that he was providing a terrible work environment, that it was...
Why?
Well...
I'm sorry about it, by the way, but I thought it was the 49th largest.
No, 15th.
Okay.
15th.
15th.
They said that he was a bad boss and that it was a hostile work environment and that he was trying to deny their unemployment, claiming that they quit rather than were fired. So it got into a whole big legal mess. So the reason they took him specifically, though, and the reason he lost the case in court is that he decided that he was having too much trouble with employees in his convenience stores. He would have people go in and see that the employees were on the phone or that they were playing video games instead of working or they had their friends behind the counter. You know how tough it must be to staff a convenience store and get people who are straight up, right?
Because you're not paying them a lot.
It's a terrible job.
Yeah. It is a terrible job. And there's a lot of downtime, I would imagine.
Yep.
Yeah,
so what do
absolutely.
You do? Do you
So what he decided to do was he started a contest that all employees could participate in. And here's how it went. New contest. Guess the next cashier who will be fired. Okay. To win our game, write on a piece of paper the name of the next cashier you believe will be fired. Write their name, the person who will be fired, today's date, today's time, and your name. Seal it in an envelope and give it to the manager. All right? Here's how the game will work. We will be doubling our secret shopper efforts. Your store will be visited during the day and night several times a week. Secret shoppers will be looked for cashiers wearing a hat, which apparently was against the rules, talking on cell phones, against the rules, not wearing a QC Mart t-shirt, having someone hanging around behind the counter, and or personal car parked by the pumps after 7 p.m., among other things. If the name in the envelope has the right answer, you will win. You ready for this? $10 cash.
All right!
$10 cash.
So at least the prize was worth it.
Only one winner per firing, unless there are multiple right answers with the exact same name, date, and time. Once we fire the person, we will open all the envelopes, award the prize, and start the contest again. And here's my favorite part of the whole contest rules. And no fair picking Mike Miller from the Rockingham Road Store. He was fired at around 11 a.m. today for wearing a hat and talking on his cell phone. Good luck, everybody.
Wow.
So apparently the employees get this. At first they think it's a joke, and then they go, he's the boss from hell. It's not a joke, and he had treated us like dirt all along. So they decided that they were going to quit en masse and then sue him, and that's what they did. Now, it doesn't say here in the article what the judge ruled in favor of the employees. Doesn't say what they got as a result of that or what's going to happen to the dude.
It's weird because usually bosses who are jerks aren't wacky.
Yeah, that is kind of crazy.
That is pretty wacky, true. Right?
If you're going to treat people really badly, then you don't go, hey, let's have a contest.
That's true.
It's just bizarre.
I guess I see what he was trying to do, which was just trying to make it clear that these offenses were serious enough that people were going to get fired.
Right.
And he was hoping to whip everybody into shape. He was hoping everybody would go, oh, he's serious about firing people now. I don't want to get fired. I'm not going to violate any of these rules. But apparently we don't live in a country where you can do it in this way. So hostile work environment, no es bueno, apparently.
If I'm making that bet, if I'm writing somebody's name down, I'm going to try and sabotage him. You know?
Absolutely.
I'm going to leave a cell phone around and call it, and then they'll pick it up and go, hello?
Get all his friends to come
photo.
In.
Take a photo. Yeah.
I'm trying to get everybody else fired?
I'm setting somebody up.
I mean, I guess you could pick yourself and then go out of your way to get fired, but it really wouldn't be worth it to win the contest if it's only $10. I mean, if it were like a $1,000 prize, you'd be better off getting yourself fired.
Sure.
That's true.
But, anyway, so there's the boss from hell story of the day, and hopefully that makes you feel a little bit better about whoever you're working for today.
Wait, so let me just clarify. Is that bad? You can't do that?
You can't do that.
Apparently not. Huh. I think I'm down with him. I think I'm on his side.
I'm sure you do. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Who cares what you think? Hmm? Nobody.
That hurts. Would you elect a fat president?
That is a really good question.
The answer?
Yes, I would.
Yeah, I would.
I would, too.
Yes, I would.
Fatty.
Look, just because somebody's fat doesn't mean somebody's not smart. Doesn't mean somebody doesn't have good ideas. Doesn't mean somebody can't get things done.
Well, the issue is self-control.
Yeah.
And you can lose self-control in lots of ways. You can have, like, secret women on the side because you can't control that.
As many politicians do.
Yes, and then get fired for, or you can lose control in a piece of pie as you eat the whole pie.
Right. And imagine the stress and strain of being the president. I mean, then you turn to food hardcore, and you started out 400. Now you're 1,200 pounds.
Yeah.
And you can't get up and walk around. You have to get the State of the Union from your bed.
Well, I don't think it's quite that bad, but okay.
And he could drop dead right in the presidency in the first year. What about that?
Yeah, if you get a fat president, you're really looking at vice president. Most of the time, when it comes to vice president, you go, vice president never takes over. I'm not worried. But with that guy, maybe you need to. We are talking to the group today who gave David Copperfield the King of Magic.
Oh, that's a great award. I wish I could win that.
King of Magic Award.
Wouldn't you just want to be the king of anything, though? Wouldn't it be awesome just to be the king of something? I'm the king of nothing.
That's true. You are the king of nothing. You're the king of Clown Town.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
This is what Bean calls his house. So anyway, we ran that by Penn Jillette, and he's like, I've never heard of that award. So
you'd think if anyone had it, would be him.
If it was legit, yeah. But this guy apparently heard a podcast, which you can get at iTunes, and saw that we were mocking it or whatever, and he's like, I would like to set the record straight.
Oh, no, really?
So I can't wait to talk to the group.
Are you serious?
The group behind the King of Magic Award.
Oh, wow.
The fact that they have that is awesome. We have Brian Deegan on the program today.
Mm-hmm.
We have Sarah Wayne Callies. I don't know if you watched The Walking Dead, but
I love
that
Walking
show.
Dead
is so good.
Yeah,
it's zombies as it sounds, and it's on AMC, and it's a great show, and it's coming back, and I can't wait. I watched every single episode of that, and I can't wait for it to come back. So we're going to talk to her. We have Matt Money Smith talking about the NBA.
Mm-hmm.
Fantastic.
Got a brand new citizen of the day, and we're going to tell you that Arnold Schwarzenegger was joking when he ran for governor.
And you all fell for it.
He was kidding.
He was pranking you guys.
At one point, he said it. He comes out of, was it Vanity Fair, Bean?
Yep.
He comes out of Vanity Fair and says, yeah, I was just doing it to
freak people out, is what he said.
Freak people out. And then all of a sudden I realized, hey, wait a minute. I'm not being roundly mocked. Maybe I could actually win this. And then he started running. But the beginning of him running for governor was just to freak people out.
Oh, man.
I think he wanted to make a good appearance on The Tonight Show. Hey, what do I got? What's my material for tonight? Oh, I'll tell him I'm running for governor. That'll get a big round of applause.
Right. And then everybody went, hey, yes.
Isn't that awesome?
Which we've been mocked for endlessly as a state for the entire time. And by the way, deservedly.
Yes.
We elected a guy who was running as just to freak people out.
Oh, God.
So anyway, we got the details on that coming up as well, and we got your tickets for the Foo Fighters on the Fives. Well, they're supposed to be on the Fives. We never, ever run on time. So it'll be anywhere between the top of the hour and, say, the bottom of the hour.
Okay. Thank you.
That's as close as we can get. So we will do that as well, and we'll take a break and come back with the Ralph Showbiz Beat next.
What's up, party people? It is Tuesday. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph Garman joins us for our first look at the Showbiz Beat. What's going on, dude?
finally, a halftime show that football fans can get behind.
Oh, is this Super Bowl?
Yeah. Looks like the Super Bowl has picked their halftime entertainment for the big game.
Bieber?
I wish. It's even more manly.
More manly than Bieber. Yeah. That's everyone.
Well, it's got to be Tool, right? I'm counting on Tool for halftime.
Third Eye Blind. Third Eye Blind.
All right.
Yeah, bringing them back in a big way.
Ryan Gosling.
No, not him either. Madonna.
Woo! Are you serious?
Madonna and football go together like peanut butter and sardines.
He's not looking too good these days.
He's looking a little thin, a little wiry.
Yeah, he is.
A little rough. Several websites are reporting this week that Madonna will take the stage at Lucas Oil Stadium in Indianapolis, perform for us during the halftime of the Super Bowl.
I think hardcore football fans have long ago given up on halftime. They just use that for get drinks, go to the bathroom.
But there was always some sort of marginalism to it where you could say, all right, John Cougar, Tom Petty, Paul McCartney, Bruce Springsteen. These are people, they may not be your favorite bands, but you could say, yeah, I could sit through a medley of their greatest hits.
Right.
But then once we got into the Black Eyed Peas zone and now Madonna, it's just, do you want to just have the ladies and the gay fellas just stop in just for the halftime?
I think that's what that's literally trying to do, is they figure they got the football fans all day. So now how can we create an event that people who aren't even watching the game will tune over for?
I don't think they will. I think you're watching the Super Bowl, you're not watching the Super Bowl. I don't think Madonna's going to make you go, well, I got to tune in for the halftime because I want to see her, and then I'll go back to...
That is weird.
You know, HGTV or whatever else I'm watching.
My cooking shows.
I just don't. That's what
you
I'm
don't.
Saying.
That's true.
I don't.
I'm not impressed either.
Yeah. It's Tuesday. That means new CDs, DVDs, and TV on DVD for your entertainment dollar. Here's what you can get on CD. Newfound Glory's got a new CD out called Radio Surgery. You can pick that up.
Okay.
New CD from MGMT called Late Night Tales. Feist has a new CD out.
I like her.
Yes. I liked her, too. What was her big hit, Bean? What was that?
The 1-2-3-4 song from the iPod commercial.
Yeah. That was fun.
15 years ago.
Feist is fun. We just played Third Eye Blind, dude. Why don't you ease up with 15 years ago?
You should be happy about Feist right now.
You wish we had Feist coming up in the next hour. Metals is the name of her new CD. Peoples and Things by Jax Mannequin. Odd Soul by Mute Math. And Less You Know the Better by DJ Shadow on DVD. The Lion King in Blu-ray. You've seen it in 2D. You've seen it in 3D. Now get the Blu-ray. It's Lion King. Beauty and the Beast. Blu-ray. It's a Disney Palooza. Fast Five with Dwayne Johnson and Vin Diesel. Scream 4. And Daft Punk. Interstellar 5555. Available on Blu-ray. TV shows on DVD. Boy Meets World, the complete seventh and final season. Oh, I cried like a baby when that went up the air.
Is that right?
Boy Meets World, yeah. Finally met the world. There was no point. Yeah, why do you go on? You can't call it Boy Meets World anymore once he's met the world.
Is that the show
it's like
that
Sam
had...
and Diana? Cheers! Takes all the sexual tension right out of the show.
I hear you.
Yeah.
Is that the show that had that chick in it that you like so much?
Topanga.
Topanga.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Topanga. Yeah. Danielle Fishel. Oh,
that's right. That's right.
Come on. Oh yeah. Boy, meet this world. Girl, meet this world right here. The League season 2, Lie to Me season 3, and In Treatment, the complete third season, is available for you to pick up. Congratulations to Seth Rogen. He got married over the weekend.
Oh, how about that?
Girlfriend Lauren Miller. A hilltop ceremony in Sonoma, California.
Oh, that sounds nice.
A lot of famous friends were there. Craig Robinson from The Office, Jonah Hill, Paul Rudd came by to toast the newlyweds. Apparently, the affair was nonstop fun and more laughs than anything else. I bet it would be with that crowd.
So. Mm-hmm.
And for every marriage in Hollywood, you know someone has to get a divorce. Those are the rules. Someone can't get married in Hollywood until some other celebrity gets divorced. You have to make room. There's only so many celebrities that can be married at any given time.
You don't want the world out of balance.
That's California state law. That's California state law, yeah. James Marsden, star, of course, of X-Men. And we recently talked to him about Straw Dogs, the movie he was starring in. He is divorcing his wife of 12 years, Lisa Lynn. They filed for divorce back on September 23rd. But they say they plan to stay friends.
Yeah.
Because they do have a 10-year-old son together, so that's a good thing. And while we're talking about children, congratulations to Jenna Fisher of The Office. You may have noticed in the new season that Pam came back to The Office pregnant. Turns out they were writing that into the show because she actually was pregnant. She gave birth to a baby boy named Weston. Weston Lee Kirk is his name. Her husband is Lee Kirk.
Right, but the father is Steve Carell. Clearly.
No, that's just on the TV show. Okay.
And that's Jim, actually, on the TV
in real
show.
Life.
They were married in July 2010 by Jeff Probst. That's who married them.
On an island someplace?
Yeah, on Redemption Island. They had a chance. They had to stay there. But if they would be able to get through a contest, they were able to rejoin the real world. So congratulations to those guys for that. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Author Anne Rice. I blame her for Twilight and everything else. All that vampire crap. It's all her
Twilight?
Fault. But as she started it with, oh, look at me. I'm interviewing a vampire. Aren't I cute? No. No. Do you see what you've done?
I love it.
Gave us Robert Pattinson.
Well.
And Taylor Lautner.
And Kristen Stewart.
And when I find you, I'm going to be really angry. I'm an action star. I'm a vampire, and I'm in love with this unattractive girl.
Yes.
I'm a werewolf, and I am also in love with this unattractive girl.
Right.
Boy, she sure can act, though, can't she?
Nope.
Nope.
The end.
Susan Sarandon, 65 years old today. Christoph Waltz.
Oh, he's the best.
Christoph awesome. Waltz. Evil. Christoph
Oscar winner,
Waltz.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah. He is 55 years old today. He's going to be filming Django Unchained with Quentin Tarantino is his next big film coming up. Russell Simmons turns 54 years old today. Actor Liev Schreiber is 44. Alicia Silverstone, she's 35. And actress Rachel...
Hey, now, with the bell.
Yes.
Really?
Cute. Alicia Silverstone, cute.
Yeah, I agree. You don't think she's hot?
She's okay.
I shouldn't ask this question, but what show did she just make an appearance on recently? Was it Community, I want to say? It was some show where she was a kind of a surprise guest star.
Next time your brain says, I'm going to start a sentence with, I shouldn't ask this question. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying maybe your brain's trying to tell your mouth something.
Right, except for the fact that I have the world's greatest television resource in front of me, the king of TV, Ralph Garman, so I figure it's fairly safe to put it out there. Because you generally know all things TV.
Moving on. Rachel Lee Cook also celebrates her birthday today. She's 32 years old today.
All right.
She's a living doll, that Rachel Lee Cook. Wish she'd work more. Because she's a good little actress, too. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
You are listening to the world-famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ. Between 5 and 5 every day this week, we are giving away tickets for the Foo Fighters at 5 after. Or... like, we're going to interrupt that song. We're not going to do
that. Hey, this is 7 after. That's not terrible.
Really close. Mm-hmm. So 1-800-520-1067. Be caller 5 right now. And you can pick the Foo Fighters at the Forum October 13th or 14th. Good luck.
Talk about concert tickets, by the way. There are so many great shows coming to Southern California. Incubus, Morrissey, Death Cab for Cutie, Dirty Heads, Foster the People. I mention those because those are some of the prizes that are going to be given away at Universal Studios Hollywood this Monday. It's the annual blood drive from K-Rock. This year it is called the K-Rock Suck It Up Blood Drive. It's going to be happening this Monday at Universal Studios Hollywood starting at 7 a.m. From 7 until 4 o'clock, all those prizes are going to be given away, brought to you by our friends at The Thing. It's really a very important thing to do. There's literally nothing you can do that will save a life easier and faster than giving blood. You can get all those details at krock.com. It is 6:07.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show. Let's talk about Arnold Schwarzenegger and his memoirs. Who is going to write this for him, first of all? I mean, really, who's going to write this for him?
But, I mean, look, mock Arnold all you want. He's a cartoon character. He's a terrible actor. But he has had a fascinating life, and he has accomplished things that nobody in a million years would have ever thought he could do. When he came to this country, people laughed in his face that he wanted to be an actor. And he did it. And then he became a hugely successful, one of the biggest stars in the world. Then they laughed in his face. Some did. When he said he wanted to go into politics, he ended up being the governor of freaking California. I mean, the guy gets stuff done. I think he's got an interesting story to tell.
Plus, he's hired somebody to make like 7, 8, 9 statues of himself, which is odd. You don't see that every day.
Yeah.
I don't know much about that story, but we asked producer Alex if she could line up the former governor of the great state of California, and we have Mr. Schwarzenegger joining us on the phone right now, back with his friends Kevin and Bean. Hi, Arnold. How are you?
And then early one morning, I picked up the phone, This was two radio douchebags.
Wait a minute. You're still writing?
Yes, I'm writing my memoirs.
Well, don't put this in.
Why not? This could be the most important conversation of my life.
Oh, I don't think so, having seen some of the teasers that have been coming out.
But how do I, take that chance?
Well, you have an editor. You get an editor who tells you what's important and interesting and what's not. You can't put everything in.
The douchebag told me I had an editor.
Okay.
And
Arnold.
I could not write everything down.
Right. All right. Put that down for a minute.
His voice is like knitting needles being plunged into my ears.
Okay. After Maria?
How can anyone listen to these two on the radio? It's beyond me.
Yeah, me too. We're agreed on that.
The dumb one agreed with
how
me.
How dare you?
Is it true that the book is called Total Recall?
Ah, Total Recall! Because it's about remembering things.
Yeah, we understand.
Right. Yeah, I was going to call it It's Not a Tumor. But I realized that really wouldn't make much sense.
Right.
No,
it's not a tumor, it's a book. I should have called it.
Well, that would have been interesting, I guess. But why are you so fascinated with the names of your movies? Why have you never been able to let those films go?
Because they're iconic, like I am, and everyone... I've seen them, and it's something everyone can relate to. So, when I write my book and I call it Total Recall, they're like, Total Recall! I remember that. And then I say, okay, Chapter 2, Twins. Chapter 3, Last Action Chapter. See, that's what I do.
Right.
And everyone can, connect up with it.
And then are you going to write stuff, or is it just the title?
No, just chapter title.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Yeah.
Oh, I see. Well, that'll go pretty fast.
I have a couple questions for you. One is this weird report that you have ordered 7 giant bronze statues of yourself.
Why is that weird?
Well, I don't know anyone else who's ordered giant bronze statues of themselves, except for...
Well, you don't know anyone else with a physique like mine and a career like mine, neither.
Well, I guess that's true.
That's right, yeah. Yeah, what are you going to get, 7 bronze statues of you in your giant head?
Well, no, I'm not saying...
You don't have that much bronze.
I'm not saying I would. I'm saying perhaps you shouldn't.
Ah, of course I should. Right. Everybody will say, look at the statue of Arnold. If only the bronze was as hard as his actual muscles are.
I don't think anyone's going to say
everyone
that except you.
Everyone will say that.
All right.
That's the 7. It says right here in my memoirs. People say that.
Where are you going to put them? Are you going to put all 7 of them in your house? What's your plan?
No, one is going to Thal, Austria.
Austria.
Hometown.
Okay.
Where they've taken my childhood home and made a museum out of it.
All right. Do they want it? Because I know how you have a way of forcing yourself on people.
It's a gift. It's just a gift.
Right, but are they going to... I mean, did they say, hey, we'd like to have it?
What are they going to say? No, we don't want it.
Well, that's true.
They made a museum of my house.
Okay.
You don't think they want a statue of me?
I don't know. I don't know who... I didn't know.
No, we don't want anything Arnold Schwarzenegger related in this town.
I'm just thinking...
Wait a minute, we have a museum for him.
I'm just thinking maybe you made the museum. I don't know where that came from.
Maybe you have a tumor.
Arnold is kind of cranky today.
He is.
And the other excerpt that's getting a lot of attention, Mr. Schwarzenegger, is the interview you gave for Vanity Fair magazine where you reveal that even when you were making the announcement that you were going to run for the governorship on the Jay Leno show, you thought it was a joke. You just wanted to freak people out by making the announcement, and then you were shocked when everyone took you seriously.
Psych! Yeah, you all been punked.
But you were
being a Schwartz.
Is this true? You were really just going to walk off and go, I'm just kidding. And then everybody kind of treated it real and you became the governor?
No, I did it to get a reaction of people. I thought they would all, laugh and say, oh, that's crazy Arnold again.
Uh-huh.
And then they said, yeah, you should run. I was like, Americans are the best people ever. I can't act. They made me a movie star.
Yeah.
I can't be a governor. They elected me.
That's true.
You people are so generous.
You had not decided to run until you were in the car on the way to the studio to promote Terminator 3. Your announcement shocked everyone, including your wife, who did not know that you were going to run for governor.
That was the least of things she didn't know I was doing.
Yeah,
actually.
That's true.
There's the
other things that were happening in the back room of the house that she didn't know about neither.
Sure.
Is
the maid one of the chapters?
I don't know what you're talking about. La, 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 la. Okay. I hear you.
Just asking.
The woman that you impregnated, that you had that baby with.
La, 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 la.
You said it's total recall.
La, 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 la. It's partial recall.
Okay.
How about a new Kevin and Bean Citizen of the Day?
And now it's time for you to meet Kevin and Bean's Citizen of the Day.
Seems like it would be pretty difficult to rob a bank, right? You can get
yes.
away with it?
Very
don't you think
hard.
Like, oh, yeah, you could try, but you'd get caught 15 different ways, not mm-hmm. worth it, blah, blah, blah. Well, there's a person who has now robbed, I believe, 15 banks called the Geezer Bandit. They believe
Dude.
They believe he is 80 15.
I love him.
An 80-year-old has gotten away with it now 15 times.
Do you think at 80 it's just, what the hell? What have I got to lose?
I don't know. Let's listen.
Did the geezer bandit pull off his 15th job? Tonight, the FBI is looking into it after a bank is robbed by an elderly man in La Jolla.
Now at 6:35 this evening, an armed man who appeared to be 70 years old walked through these doors, robbed the bank inside, and then walked out those same doors without getting caught.
The suspect pointed a revolver at the teller and threatened him with the use of that weapon. The teller complied with the demands, provided him a sum of money.
That robber is described by investigators as a well-dressed man who appears to be 70 years old, 6'1", thin to medium build, balding with white hair on the side and wearing a light gray suit. The geezers last hit a bank in Morro Bay on May 27th.
I'm kind of excited. I want to see what he looks like. I'm surprised that he's caused so much ruckus in the San Diego area.
He feels like he's gotten away with it before, so then he feels like he can continue to get away with it.
Hey, thanks for that input. I don't know why they interview men on the street, but I love it so much.
He feels like he actually did get away with it. Yeah. He doesn't just feel like it.
This is a great story because the novelty of his age makes him have the potential to be a real folk hero. This is the kind of guy, especially people are not crazy about banks these days.
Mm-hmm.
Look at the outrage over, you know, the Bank of America debit card fee and everything. But this is the type of guy that people are going to start rooting for to be able to rob more banks and get away with it because he's so old. They love it.
There is a little bit of speculation that maybe it's a young guy in an old man's suit. Like makeup and that kind of stuff, but they have no proof of that. So
how does he keep getting away,
though? I don't know. Where's the money that explodes with blue paint and all that stuff?
Right. And after 15 of them, why hasn't he not accidentally walked out and there's a police car there or something? I mean, people get tripped up in all sorts of ways, or somebody sees him and follows him. I don't know. It seems crazy that he's been so successful, but more power to him.
Here's another guy that is in trouble with the law. In Indiana, an 18-year-old Northwest Indian man is free on bond after being arrested and handcuffed. He was arrested by the sheriff's department for underage drinking at a party. So they cuffed him and they put him in the back of the car. And he escaped.
Really?
He got out of the police car with the handcuffs. He was handcuffed. And he was able to get the cops couldn't find him. He was able to get the handcuff chain cut so that his hands weren't together. Mm-hmm. But the handcuffs were still on each hand. The only problem was he left the cop car with his wallet in it.
Oh, so close.
And so they said, let's see who this could be. And they found his license, and then they went over and they picked him up.
Aww.
So that
missed
happened.
It by that much.
A 46-year-old father of three has admitted to court officials that he attacked a teen boy.
Uh-oh.
Who killed off his Call of Duty Black Ops character.
Well, Mark take Bradford, that personally.
Mark Bradford of Plymouth, England, apparently got really upset because there was a 13. You know how you play the video games with the on the internet with the microphone,
mm-hmm.
and
uh-huh.
you could talk to each other. Well, apparently he was playing with a 13-year-old, and this is what really drives me crazy because this Suzanne Choney, who's the reporter, didn't ask the only question I care about, which is what was the name the 13-year-old called the 46-year-old? Because the 13-year-old killed the 46-year-old's player. Called him a name, 46-year-old father of three, freaks out and goes over to the little kid's house. He knows where he lives and puts his hands around his neck and he's shaking him when his mom finds him.
Oh, my God.
So what could possibly have set him off that much? Called him a name. What's the
loser.
Name? What's the name? People, I need to know the name.
Unbelievable.
And finally, a guy who, you always hear these stories, and I don't understand smuggling stuff out in your underwear, but it seems to work. I'm not sure quite how it works with somebody who smuggles this much stuff out, though.
Are you ready for some football? Because this guy is. He allegedly managed to stuff 54 copies of the video game Madden 12 down his pants.
54 Madden 12s!
No way!
And he looks like he's overweight, but maybe 240 pounds? Like, not...
How
600
could you
pounds.
Possibly do that.
And then he walked out the front door of a Walmart in Fleming Island, Florida. Police are still looking for the video game playing pants stuffing bandit who stole more than $3,000 worth of video games. According to reports, the man took his cart full of Madden 12 to the hardware section of the store where he used a screwdriver to open up the copies of the game.
I like this because he used their tool to break that little thing that has the alarm on it and break them open, and then he put them down his pants.
And he did it all in the store.
Yeah, all of it.
Yeah. And stuffed them down his pants.
The only thing that would make it better is he got the pants from the store. That'd be great, too.
So he wouldn't set off alarms. 54 copies of Madden is a bit excessive unless you plan on selling them. So I'm sure some used game stores in Florida will be seeing some extra copies of Madden very soon. Always remember to clean your used games before you insert them into your consoles.
Very important, because you don't want a Madden 12 that smells like dirty balls. And now those are the citizens of the day.
Now you know, Kevin and Beans, citizen of the day.
Hey, party people, thanks for tuning in on a Tuesday. Ralph's got the showbiz beat coming up in minutes. Then actress Sarah Wayne Callies is going to be here from The Walking Dead. So excited. That's coming back this month. Hey, would you vote for a really, really fat guy for president?
Yes.
That's one of the questions. In fact, let's ask Matt Money Smith before we talked about what we brought him on for. Money, if Chris Christie runs for president, is he too fat to win? What do you think?
Boy, that's a good question, because he is pretty damn cool, isn't he?
Yeah, but no, but we're not talking politics. We're just talking weight.
I know. I don't know if I vote for a guy.
Oh, we got a bad connection.
We do?
Yeah.
Son of a bitch.
Yeah, call back. Call right back, Money. Call right back. Thank you. Sorry.
I think you were saying, I don't know that I'd vote for a guy who's that fat, right? And, and that's what you were saying earlier, is because you'd be afraid he was going to die. I don't know how old he is, but I don't think very many people just drop dead because they're fat.
Well, I don't either, but it puts stress on their body, and then they have a heart attack or something else like that. But
yeah, if that guy isn't diabetic yet, it's in days.
But when you talk about stress, I don't know that there's a more stressful position in the entire world than the president. Yeah.
Isn't it a little embarrassing to see him roll off Air Force One in France or whatever, too? Oh,
so sweet.
God.
Overweight people have it hard enough being disgusting without you making fun of them.
Well, listen, if he's going to run for president, that is going to be a definite question. We're going to have to take your calls a little bit later on, but I would vote for a fat guy because he's fat.
Well, and you vote for comedy.
I vote for comedy.
But why not have a guy who looks like us, though? Isn't it about time that there's been somebody who actually represents the United States as we are?
The United States as we are is a fat country.
That's true.
We need a fat president that understands fat. That's what I'm saying. Go fat! We need a fat party.
All right. Do we have money back? What's going on?
They're trying to get a hold of him. I'm not sure. It sounded like a bad cell phone.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about the NBA with them because, as you know, they sure haven't gotten together yet, both sides. Looks like we're not going to have a season.
Yeah.
Although, apparently, they tried yesterday, and they're having a much bigger meeting today. Money, how about now? How you sounding?
Hopefully good. I hate being that guy. Radio guy like you. I mean, get a damn cell phone that works.
Yeah, you're that guy still, but we're going to try.
All right. You talk, we'll listen. What happened yesterday? What's likely to happen today? Of course, November 1st is when the actual season was supposed to begin. It looks like at this point there's almost no way that we won't be losing games, if not the season. What's going on, Matt?
Well, it kind of is in step with everything I've said all along, the people I've talked to. Who would have ever guessed I actually have sources? But the owners are steadfast. They are not going to budge. So it's basically up to the players to decide to accept what they're offering.
Are they even negotiating?
Well, that's kind of how the negotiation goes, right? They get into these meetings, and the players say, oh, we've kind of come off of this, and we'll dial this back a little bit. Well, here's our proposal. It's like the same one you gave us last time we were here. And basically what's going to happen is every single time these two sides get into a meeting, the owners are going to hand them the exact deal. And until the players say, okay, I'll go ahead and take that, they're not going to make a deal.
Yeah, so it's take it or leave it, basically. It's like if you want to play and you want to get paid this season, this is what we are offering, and we can afford for you not to play and to cancel the whole season. Your decision.
Exactly. And there is no way, I mean, 0% chance the owners are going to make a deal that they don't get everything they want without giving the players some pain, without having them miss some paychecks to see whether or not they'll cave like they did last time, like the NHL did. You know, like I was talking to a guy, I think I might have told you this last time we were on, and he said, yeah, you know, the NHL players, they really blew it. Now we're having to wear that. I said, they blew it. They sat out a freaking season, a full season, and then they came back to the table, and the owner said, yeah, same deal that you guys sat out a season for, so you can either take it or miss a second season. And they had to take it, and I think that's exactly what you're going to see in the NBA.
Now, what's happening? Is it just players getting paid too much, owners don't like it?
Well, I think it's a little more complicated than that. Because put it this way, you know, Kobe is the highest paid player in L.A., the highest paid athlete in L.A., but barely. Vernon Wells of the Los Angeles Angels nearly makes as much money as Kobe Bryant. Are you going to pay money to go see Vernon Wells play baseball? Hell no. Are you going to pay a lot of money to see Kobe play basketball? Absolutely. The stars, even with a $25 million salary, Kobe is still underpaid. And I think that's one of the things that, you know, if you've been following this at all, Wade and David Stern got into a very heated exchange the weekend. I think Stern was pointing his finger at Wade, and Wade was calling him, "Don't you point your finger at me, David." Things like, I mean, it was nasty, and it's because guys like Wade and Kobe and LeBron, they are this league. It is unlike any other sport we have in America where people go out to see individual guys.
Yeah.
And, you know, and they're trapped because owners, look, there's, gosh, I hope this doesn't get too technical and boring for people, but there's owners that own teams now that have no business owning teams. You know, they got in when the price was too high. They bought high, and now, you know, in a down economy, it's biting them in the ass. And they're not billionaires like Mark Cuban. It's guys, you know, there's names you're going to hear like Robert Sarver in Phoenix. He leads the charge. This is a dude that ran a bank, and we all know the kind of situation that banks are in. He's got no business owning that team. And he's one of the guys that's really pushing hard and trying to get a group of the younger owners that don't have equity in their team now to push for this, you know, 40% of revenue instead of 57% of revenue that players were getting. So think about that. They want players to take a 17% cut in their salaries because these owners pay too much money for their teams, and that's really what it boils down to.
Why can't they take that 17, split it in half, sign a deal, and play basketball?
You would think you could, but the players say, why are we taking a pay cut when every other sports league is profitable? The NHL just signed a $2 billion. The NHL, and Kevin, you know how much I love the NHL.
Yeah, take it easy, your money.
It is the worst television sport in America.
Oh,
it does not translate
hurts.
To TV. It doesn't. You know, as great as it is in person, it's a hard watch on TV. They just signed a $2 billion TV contract. You know, and that's what the players are saying. Hold on. The NFL, once a week, 17 games, just signed a $1.9 billion a year deal for Monday Night Football on ESPN. Major League Baseball is grossing $9 billion a year in revenue. The NHL just signed a $2 billion deal. You mean to tell me you guys can't figure out how to sell basketball on TV and we can keep our money? Are you that dumb? And I think that's what's happened.
Is that accurate? Are they not making anywhere near those other sports? Or are they just playing tricks with the books, or what's the story?
They are. There's a thing called asset depreciation that they can use as a write-down. So what that means is when they file their taxes, right, these basketball teams, they can build in what they call depreciation of assets. Well, what are their assets? They're players.
Right.
So they write down that every year that goes by, their players lose a little bit more skill, and all that salary they're paying them is worth less to the team because the players aren't as good. And that's a legitimate loss that they put on the books. And of that $300 million you're hearing, the players contend that about $200 million of it is just kind of that ridiculous depreciation of assets.
That's funny math. Funny math crap.
Right. Let me. This is the voice of Matt Money Smith, by the way, from the Petros and Money radio show. Let me ask you this, Matt. A lot of times you can kind of read the community and what their level of disgust is over a news story. You know, for a while, people are pissed off at gas stations, for instance, because gas is too high and you can feel it. It's palpable. And then people just kind of accept it and move on and live in the new dynamic. Is there a lot of outrage from people about there not being basketball? Or because we are still in, you know, baseball, now hockey, and football season, are people just kind of, it's on the back burner, they're not really thinking that much about it? Because I don't see protests, with the exception of Clipper Darrell sleeping out in front of Staples Center, I don't see a lot of people, like, marching in the streets about this. It seems like people are just kind of, whatever, take it or leave it.
Yeah, I'm with you, Bean. It hurts basketball more than it hurts the fan because we have so many other outlets. You know, we do have the baseball play. This is the best time of the year. You know, I mean, we have the baseball playoffs and the World Series. The NHL is about to get going. You have college football that is at an all-time high in terms of popularity. On Saturdays, you have NFL on Sundays. And remember, you know, in about 4 or 5 weeks, those things are going to start to get spaced out. You're going to get football on Thursday night, on Wednesday night, on Saturday night, you know, all of those things in primetime positions. So it's going to hurt basketball more than anything. And it goes back to the, you know what, and I hate doing this because everybody does, but it's true. I mean, it's a blanket statement, but it works. In this economy, when people are fighting for jobs, with unemployment as high as it is very hard to gain sympathy no matter the side you're on.
Yeah.
When you're talking about billions and billions of dollars.
Well, there's that, and there's also they've been putting out the word, kind of. You know, people who are interested in the basketball season have heard maybe 15 times there's not going to be a season. They're kind of preparing everybody for it way ahead of time. So maybe that's why there's not a lot of outrage as well.
Well, I think, you know, the one bit of outrage that I think people do have that I hear is, why, when you knew this was going to happen in June, are you all of a sudden just sitting down at the table saying, well, if you don't get a deal done by the end of Tuesday, there's going to be no season.
Right.
Why can't you sort out something in August? And it's because there's no sense of urgency. You know, it's a staring contest. It's a chicken fight. And both sides want to see which is going to flinch.
See, these are Kevin's people. These are the people who are at the Walgreens at 9 p.m. on Christmas Eve looking for gifts. That's what's happening right now.
Exactly. That is what it is. It's the night before the exam, and both sides are cramming.
All right. Now, as far as I've heard, they've only officially canceled preseason games.
That's right. It goes back to what I said. They're canceling regular season games unless the players buckle. And, I mean, this has turned into a rock fight. The players and the agents aren't getting along. Star players, you know, are being accused of not looking out for the little guy.
Hey, listen.
The little guy is being accused of making too much money. Owners can't get along. You know, behind the scenes, I'm hearing guys like Jerry Reinsdorf of the Bulls and Mickey Arison and Jerry Buss are saying, look, you young idiots that paid $500 million for your team, screw you. I'm sorry you have no equity, but that's not my problem. I bought the Lakers. I swapped the Chrysler building for the Lakers, all right? Big deal. I'm making a fortune.
It's, right.
You know, and that's the problem, is you have different sects of ownership and players that have different agendas. So each side can't even agree on what they want amongst themselves, let alone present, you know, a solid front to make a deal with the other.
All right, we're out of time. If you had to guess right now, are there going to be any basketball games, or is it a complete season miss?
I think it's 50-50. 50-50.
We brought you on to say 50-50? I can say 50-50.
I know. I think it's up to the players. The players have to decide, okay, we're taking it in the shorts, but, hey, that's the reality of it.
At least we can play.
It's up to the players to accept a deal that they don't like, because the owners are not going to budge.
All right.
All right. Outstanding, Matt. Always great to hear from you, my friend. The Petras and Money Show. Go to PetrasandMoney.com to find a fine affiliate near you. Say hi to the P, man. We'll talk to you soon.
Yeah, where's my mother effing money, Bean?
Can't hear you. Phone's breaking up again.
Oh,
phone's
no, I heard him clearly. He said, where's
Can't
his mother
Too
effing
much static.
Money?
Oh, we lost.
Here's a treat for you. Marie Callender's Whole Pie to Go sale is on right now. Get delicious, freshly baked whole pies to go for just $7.99 for a limited time. Don't miss it. Your favorite pie is waiting. I'm Lisa May with K-Rock Traffic.
I hate to think of my favorite pies being lonely and waiting, you know?
Go get it.
It's the world famous K-Rock at 6:53.
Sarah Wayne Callies. Prison Break and Walking Dead actors joins us after the top of the hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Very much looking forward to that. Right now, Ralph's got the showbiz beat. What's going on?
I quit.
You quit?
I quit.
What? Is this a story that made you mad or us? What is it?
No, the story made me so happy that I didn't realize this job existed.
Oh.
And now I have to quit this job to go do this job.
Do you already have this new job?
I don't, but I'm sure it's just a matter of me saying I'd like to have this job.
Okay. See you later.
I did not know this, but apparently you can make money as a researcher finding out what makes songs catchy.
What makes
the University of London has done a lengthy study on the secret ingredients that make a song catchy.
I'm guessing it's just repetition.
They got a room full of volunteers together and had them listen to more than 1,000 songs.
Wow.
And they're able to log and quantify which songs they sang along with and enjoyed the most. Ones that got stuck in their heads. Ones they could not help but sing along with.
Okay.
They ran them through the Musitech 9000 and came up with 4 different qualities that all of the songs had in common.
Okay.
Long, detailed musical phrases. The larger a breath a vocalist takes before singing a line, the more likely you are to sing along.
What?
A big breath?
Yes. Something that you sing a long period, as opposed to short, choppy lyrics, long musical phrases. Lots of different pitches in the song's hook. If the hook goes up and down and changes in its pitch, much more catchy.
Okay.
Male singers. People are much more likely to sing along with male singers than female vocalists.
Odd.
Now, researchers believe it's because their voices are tapping into our tribal instinct to follow male-fronted songs. Goes back to the primordial times when men would lead the chants and singing of the tribes.
So you didn't even have to be smart to take this job. It could just be dumb.
Higher male voices with noticeable vocal effort are a lot more catchy than lower male voices are.
This is quite detailed, their findings.
So they ran them through the MusiTech 9000, and they came up with the top 10 catchiest songs of all time.
Look, we've all had songs, even songs we hate, that get stuck in our ears and we can't forget them.
More often, for me, it's songs I hate.
Science has proven these are the 10 catchiest songs of all time.
All right.
Okay. All right. I'm down.
I have a vote for number one, and if it's not number one, I'm throwing the whole survey out.
Here are your 10 catchiest tunes of all time. Here is number 10.
Yeah, that's pretty catchy.
That's pretty damn catchy.
And by the way,
John Bon Jovi.
As we listen to that, it seems to fit a lot of those categories that you talked about with the big breath and the high note and the whole deal. Yeah.
Number 9.
'Cause I'm just a teenage dirtbag, baby.
Teenage Dirtbag by Weedus.
I haven't thought of that song in 5 years.
That's bizarre. Okay.
Catchy as hell. Number 8.
It is catchy. Yeah.
You, my bride girl.
Come on, you know you're singing along with that song if it comes on the radio.
Yeah, you're right.
Van Morrison's right. Brown Eyed Girl.
I'm not listening to a radio that comes on.
But if it does, okay. You'll be like, you can't help yourself.
And then you don't realize. You go, what am I doing?
That's right. Number 7.
Forever and always, I'm always here.
I don't know that song.
Jimmy Jameson's I'm Always Here.
I don't know that song.
Baywatch.
Catchy as hell. Scientific. Baywatch, yeah.
All right.
Here we go. Number 6.
Ruby, 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 Ruby.
Kaiser Chiefs, Ruby.
Okay.
Number this must be a British survey.
Well, the University of London did the research. Number 5.
What's that coming over the hill? Is it a monster? Is it a monster?
Monster, the automatic. Number 4.
It's the final countdown.
Come on, final countdown. Third on the list.
I don't want to waste my time. Become another casualty of society. I'll never fall.
Fat Lips, I'm 41. That is catchy.
It is catchy. It's that true. Is a catchy song.
The second catchiest song in the world.
Y-M-C-A.
Come on now.
Y-M-C-A.
You may hate it, but you cannot deny it's catchy. You cannot deny it's
That's
catchy.
That's true. And you have to do the arm work.
Not only do you have to sing along, you have to make the letters with your arms.
You don't have any choice.
It is science.
Right?
Now, this, they say, is the number one catchiest song in the world, according to the University of London and the MusiTech 9000.
That's right.
Yeah. Surprised the goat whore is number
goat
one.
Goat whore is number one. No, actually,
right,
this is number one.
We are the champions. We are the champions. No time for losing, because we are the champions.
Big breath of the world.
Come on, Freddie Mercury, with your bad self.
I can see that.
We are the champions.
Yeah.
What are the odds that we are the champions would be the champion of this list?
The very list.
It's science! Anyway, I found that fascinating, and I hope you did not hate it. Here's today's celebrity birthdays. Author Anne Rice is 70 years old today. She interviewed a vampire.
She
the rest
did.
Was history. Susan Sarandon is 65. Listen, say what you want. At 65, that is all right. That
amazing.
Is still a little bit of all right right there.
Yeah,
that's all I'm saying.
Just a little bit.
If I had to sex with any 65-year-old I knew, it would be Susan
Sarandon. That's the category. She's in the running.
Especially if you could talk her daughter into joining you.
right?
Yeah, well, that makes all the difference.
Why does the creepy? Why I'm does the creepy, creepy have I'm to just, come?
I'm not being creepy. I'm just pointing out that
her... stop the creepy?
I wasn't being creepy. I was saying her daughter is also a very attractive woman. That's all.
For some reason,
but you didn't say that. You didn't say, oh, her daughter's also attractive. You say, oh, well, especially if you talk her daughter into joining, too.
And then you get heaven.
I'm Bean.
Here's the problem, Bean, is that I think Ralph could say the exact same words you say and yet get away with it. I think you bring the creepy.
Yeah. But it's not creepy. You're just making up that it's creepy, but it's not really.
No. You can hear the creepy.
It's there.
You can hear the rag with the chloroform in your hand as you're saying it. You can hear the duct tape.
That made me sound creepy.
Christoph Waltz is 55 years old today. Actor Liev Schreiber turns 44. Russell Simmons, legendary producer, he is 54 years old. Alicia Silverstone is 35. And actress Rachel Lee Cook celebrates her 32nd birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thanks for listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on a Tuesday. In about a half an hour, we'll tell you and show you what happens when you invite a country music star wearing a cowboy hat and ask him questions about black people on the Fox News Network. We'll find out how that gets Hank Williams Jr. booted from Monday Night Football. We have that tape on the way here on the Kevin and Bean Show. First, though, who is excited about The Walking Dead coming back a week from Sunday? Come on!
I am.
Yes.
I know someone else who's in our studio right now, the beautiful actress Sarah Wayne Callies, who joins us. She, of course, one of the stars of The Walking Dead. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks for having me.
Well, we loved you on Prison Break, and we're so excited about Walking Dead. Now, the deal is there were only, what, five or six episodes first time around?
There were six episodes in the first season, yeah.
Yeah, it was kind of a really rough tease because you loved it. And then you went, hey, come on now. I at least need 10.
Yeah, we made people wait 10 months pretty much before the second
six
season
episode,
came
10 months. Are there more than six episodes of the next?
There are more than twice. Yeah, we got 13 this year.
All right.
Oh, 13. That's awesome. All right. People who had been such a huge fan of the original comic book series from Robert Kirkman, they had their own challenges not knowing if it could be filmed successfully. Most of us who didn't read that, it was a brand new experience for us. Oh my God, how are these zombies on my TV? Did you think that it was going to be the sensation that it was? Did you have high hopes for it being as big as it turned out to be?
Hopes, yes, but did I think it would be? No. I sort of thought this would be kind of like a little cool genre thing. There'd be a few people that thought it was kind of fun. We'd all get together at Comic-Con once a year and
remember the good old days?
Yeah, geek it up, you know, when I dress used to be like on Princess Leia. Yeah, totally.
Tell me what it was like when it debuted, when the first episode hit and it became, in my memory, it seemed like it was a sensation from the first minute it went on the air.
Well, I mean, it was pretty cool. I mean, I think Frank Darabont wrote and directed, for my money, the best hour of television I've ever seen. It was so courageous and so bold and so quiet, and I think it really captured people's imaginations because it was really unlike anything that we'd seen.
Yeah. They really go out of their way to make it real. Like, this is really the end of the world. There really are few humans left and most zombies, and good luck.
I think you kind of have to. I mean, because if you play it for camp or with a wink and a nod, it just becomes this ridiculous, massive.
If you can do it right, I think that's the hardest thing in the world to do, is to play it right along that edge, you know. But if they make it real, like they make this one is like a drama and there's not really comedy and it's, you believe it's happening, it's really well done.
Thank you.
Really great.
Thank you.
And your zombies are terrifying, too, because zombies have been, you know, we've seen them portrayed many times over the years, and particularly in movies. And like you said, a lot of times they're played for laughs. But a lot of times you're sitting there in the audience going, I could outrun that dude. Seriously, this is not a challenge because they're so slow. Your zombies are kick-ass zombies, though. I mean, they can take you down.
They can. Well, and that's due to Greg Nicotero and the team at K&B Special Effects. They're just sort of these perverse masters of all things vile.
Sweet.
They're,
I want that to be my title.
Right? It's actually on his business card.
Oh, it's fantastic. And you play... Here's the thing that people don't think about, and I didn't think about before. Imagine being a hot chick and being one of the last ones.
Yeah. There's some responsibility there, I'm
thinking.
You're
in a lot of trouble.
There's some opportunity there, too.
That's true, too.
But or possibly real threat.
You're in a lot of trouble. So, was it the first episode when we find out that your husband is in the hospital, right?
Yeah.
Okay. And clearly he's dead. They give up on him for dead, and they leave, and the...
Well, a woman has needs, Kevin. Woman has needs. You got to move on. Life's for the living.
Hospital's overrun. So the guy's best friend takes the family under and says that he's dead. And then all of a sudden he shows up.
Now what do you do? Because you and your kid are living with the best friend, and now the best friend doesn't know what to do. Here's a little clip from last season to kind of catch up on that storyline.
How can you treat me like this?
You're kidding, right? Because you told me my husband is dead.
Boy, I didn't lie to you. They were slaughtering people in the hallways. It was a massacre. There were walkers everywhere.
Yeah, so you left him.
Everybody else ran. There were no doctors there. It was just me. He was hooked up to machines, and I did not know what to do. I even took my ear and I put it on his chest and I listened to a heartbeat and I did not hear one. But there's no way he could survive that. No way.
He did.
Wrong.
Awkward.
Imagine being that guy and seeing him come back. He's your best friend. Now you're sleeping with his wife. Hey, how did you?
Yeah.
I'm glad to see you, but the whole... Wait a minute.
So, funny story.
So you're still alive.
Yeah, we got some stuff to talk about. It's going to be an interesting season. I mean, there's a lot of that secret that that we get into and that we stay away from. You know, I mean,
do we find out more what happened to your husband while he was in the hospital, or no? Is that just?
I mean, I think we've covered most of the bases. Yeah. You know, I mean, which is that he sort of laid there until he woke up, and then
who
he came
knows
to find
how?
Us.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, the story of him waking up is just. Every now and
That's
again, somebody's
finished.
Heart just goes, no, I'm not done beating.
I'm not finished, yeah.
Right. What happened, and maybe, forgive me if it's been a long time now, and maybe this was explained and I forgot, but what happened originally to cause the zombie invasion and to eliminate most of the regular people?
Well, my understanding is in the comic book, that's something that Kirkman never really gets into.
Yeah, it just is.
Almost, this is just post whatever happened.
Right.
And you know, some of the rationale behind that I kind of dig is that we don't know.
We're
a bunch of survivors and we're not fancy people. You know, we're just like, he's a cop. I'm a stay at home mom. You know, what the hell do we know about molecular biology or whatever caused this mess?
And that makes it more terrifying for you because it's so out of your hands.
Exactly.
There's nothing you can do or understand or correct or anything like that. So when we see a lot of shots, and I guess it's filmed in Atlanta, right, or nearby Atlanta, when we see a lot of the shots out there, it looks like, I mean, almost everybody is gone. I mean, there's nothing more terrifying than seeing those empty streets. Yeah. Is it like that across the whole...
Yes, there is, Bean. Seeing those empty streets full of zombies.
Teeming with zombies, right. Is it like that across the whole country or across the whole world, or do we not know?
We don't really know. I mean, I think, you know, what Jenner told us in the CDC in the last episode of last season was that he had been in touch with other sort of CDC-type places. They'd all gone offline, and the last people to hold out were the French.
Please.
That's unusual.
No, you know,
that's fantasy.
It's actually kind of a beautiful shout out.
Oh, come on.
Frank Darabont was born in a refugee camp in France.
That doesn't change history.
It doesn't change that they're cheese eating surrender monkeys. Come on.
Oh, my God. I'm going to start singing the Marseillaise.
If there's one. Oh, come on. So you're saying they're holding out. But
did you say cheese eating surrender monkeys?
Yes, that's what the Simpsons call the French, right?
He did. But here's the beauty of it. Is that they don't know, and that's kind of the cool part of it, is like they don't have any idea if the next city is alive or dead, and you went to the CDC, the Center for Disease Control, and you thought that was your answer, and then that wasn't.
Right.
That's part of the fun of it is you don't know. As the cast.
Fun for you.
Yeah.
No, I mean, that's part of the debate that we go through.
Do we go? What do we do?
Do we go to Fort Benning now? You know, what's safe? And I think one of the things that drives the second season is one by one, people's dawning awareness that maybe the National Guard isn't coming. Maybe there's not going to be anyone to help us.
And it's just you. And now you're looking around to see who you're going to eat first.
Right.
Let's be
honest. Yeah. No, find the fat guy.
Yeah. Find the fat guy.
If Governor Christie survives, man, it's going to be awesome.
We need to take a break.
Oh, no, I have more questions, though. You're a bad man.
Sarah Wayne Callies is here. The Walking Dead comes back a week from Sunday, October 16th at 9 o'clock on AMC. You still have time. It's a week from Sunday. There's only six episodes.
Yeah, you can totally
catch
up.
So time to completely catch up and see that. We will take a break. We'll come right back on the Kevin and Bean.
Beautiful actress Sarah Wayne Callies in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. She is on The Walking Dead, returning Sunday, October 16th. I'm going to say she is The Walking Dead. That's what I'm going to say.
Mm-hmm.
How about that?
I feel right now.
She's not.
Really.
I like it now. On AMC, which is good because we don't have Mad Men until next year, so that's good. Let me tell you about zombies, kids. Zombies, because it's Halloween time, are once again one of the biggest costumes in the land, thanks to Zombieland, I Am Legend, thanks to The Walking Dead, thanks for the Left 4 Dead Zombies series. Huge, huge zombies again this year. And who would have ever thought? I mean, zombies are a thing that were popular like in the 1950s.
Dude, zombies are forever.
Apparently they are. What are the rules in The Walking Dead land about zombies? Everybody has their own kind of vampire when they make a movie or TV shows. Everybody has their own kind of zombie. Like, what are the rules for your zombies? What can they can and can't they do?
Well, if you're going to kill them, you got to kill the brain. So there's nothing you can do to
shoot
stop
them. Shoot them in the chest, it doesn't help because they'll stay dead.
Yeah.
I guess
yeah.
I should say.
They'll
dead alive.
They'll be dead again. Right. Exactly.
You have to kill them through the head. Okay.
Yeah, that's the big one. We try to avoid superhero zombies, right? So like they can't run super fast.
They can't fly.
They can't fly, but we're learning more about their behavior in the second season. And actually in the first episode, there is a heretofore unseen zombie phenomenon.
Nice.
That apparently I'm told is very scary, although I haven't seen it.
Now, they kill people and eat their brains? Is that what they do?
They'll eat any part of you.
They'll eat your body.
Your body. Okay.
And then the infection.
Yeah, then the infection makes you a zombie. And that's right. Another fascinating thing is when somebody in your camp turns into a zombie, Everybody knows, like, okay, we're going to have to off this guy.
Yeah.
Right. This was our friend Dave 5 minutes ago. He was just our friend Dave, but now we have to kill him because he's our mortal enemy. That's weird. Zombies don't have sex, though, right?
Have we delved into that yet? I know we haven't yet in the first 6 episodes, but
we're not on HBO, dude. We're on AMC. Good point.
You released AMC The Walking Dead released a trailer at Comic-Con a couple of months ago in San Diego. I assume you were down there for the fun. Right?
I was down there for San Diego Comic-Con, which is like a Halloween parade.
Yeah. I want to know what it was like for you guys being on the hottest sci-fi franchise in television. What was it like for you being in San Diego for those days?
It's a trip. I mean, Comic-Con's kind of amazing. It's like, I think it's the American answer to Carnival in Venice. You know, it's just this like, it's a sort of free-for-all. You've never seen more women dressed like Princess Leia in one place in your life. Some of them in like the little metal bikini.
Some of them maybe shouldn't be wearing the little metal bikini.
Some of them.
But
well, that was a combination Jabba the Hutt Princess Leia costume.
Actually, the entire second installment. No, I mean, it's a trip, though, and it's really sweet because the comic book fans could very easily have turned to us and said, you know, a whole range of things that it's too early in the morning for me to censor. But, you know, don't F this up, basically, because we love this.
Right.
And they haven't. They gave us a lot of leeway. And you could say they gave us a lot of rope with which to hang ourselves. But
sweet.
They've been supportive.
You met a lot of the fans of the comic book and of the series down there?
Yeah. You know, you do signing stuff. So you sit in a booth for a while and you shake hands with people and you sign posters or, you know, periodically, if you're like Norman, you sign people's breasts and things. And you just sort of talk with them. And
isn't it weird to think, though, that you're part of the pop culture now forever because it's sci-fi? You can go to Comic-Con or to a convention in Cincinnati on a Saturday in 2030 if you want and sign autographs and be well-received. Isn't that weird that's part of your resume now?
I've arrived.
In 2030, this show's going to be real. And she's going you're going to know all the tricks.
She's the one to know.
Right.
I'm going to be defending Cincinnati. Right. With a baseball bat.
All right. So 10 episodes is what you're telling us.
13.
And it starts
13
episodes. 13. Even better. And it starts a week from Sunday, October 16th at 9. And you've given us some clues as to some of the areas we're going to get into. Anything else you want us to know about season 2 besides the fact, obviously, we got to watch it?
I think season 2 makes season 1 look tame. I don't know how that's possible.
That was great.
The big difference, I think, is that, you know, like season 1, it's a bloodbath. We lose a lot of people. But this year, we lose as many people to the living as we did to the dead.
Oh.
We're starting to become a dangerous bunch of human beings.
You don't
the monsters
have that
inside.
Many people.
You turn on each other.
We find a few more.
Oh, well, good.
We find fresh meat.
Okay. Yes, good.
And then consume it.
Wait, isn't that what the zombies do?
This is not a show for vegans.
No, it's not. Not at all, really.
How many, what's the biggest scene they've filmed with the zombies? Like, how many zombie extras have you needed for the biggest scene, if you know?
The largest one I know, we had 200 outside the CDC.
Wow.
Which
that was sweet when they were attacking and you guys thought you were safe and everybody was out there and then you had to leave in the middle of it.
That was good fun. That was good fun.
No, that's not what you want in real life, though.
There's a, actually, again, in the premiere episode this season, there is a big gang. I think we probably had about 150. Again,
that's awesome, and I love that there are people in Atlanta who are answering a call to play a zombie on The Walking Dead. I mean, that's
are you kidding? I would do that in a second.
They're amazing.
Yeah, that'd be the best.
They work harder than anybody on the. I mean, you know, they get up at 2 to get to work at 3 to be in makeup just in time for the sun to start cooking it off of them.
Yeah.
Oh,
they stand in the sun and, you know, I mean, they're background, right? So they're
right.
They're ignored, they're underpaid, they're not credited on the show, they're dead,
you
which
forgot
super
that.
Sucks.
Right.
They don't get to look cute.
Right. At all.
And they're just champions. I mean, you know, and without them, our show is a laughing mess. If you don't believe
they're
scary.
The beauty of it is that you buy this, these are zombies and these are scary and for the right reasons. And they don't do it campy and they don't do it fake and cheesy.
Yeah.
Like they look like they're real zombies.
They're amazing.
We've had many conversations with our listeners in the past where we have people who call in who believe for real in zombies and have an escape plan. And they'll tell us, yeah, oh yeah.
It's very detailed.
I have a thing where my husband and I will meet at a park. We're like, wait a minute, you talked about a real zombie invasion and they have an escape plan.
Wait, why a park?
I don't know.
Zombies don't like swings?
I can't answer for them. I'm just telling you they had a plan so that they know, hey, if they look around and there's zombies, there's a place that they have to go so they can meet their family and head for Atlanta or whatever it is they're ending up doing. But
there was some viral internet thing at a certain point about 10 neurological disorders that could actually result in zombies.
Yes,
yes,
yes. We talked about that.
That's
it was crazy.
So scary. Yeah.
It is scary.
It's going to happen.
Well, I hope you never become a real zombie, Sarah. That's my wish for you, my dear.
Very nice.
Thanks.
I hope you don't
so
die
sweet.
And live.
The show is called The Walking Dead. You can tell we're big fans. You ought to check it out. As Kevin pointed out, you've got until the 16th, a week from Sunday, to catch up on season one. So you should definitely Netflix or stream that or get it on demand or something because it's well worth watching. Really one of the best shows on television. You can see it on AMC Sunday, October 16th. Sarah Wayne Kelly has been our guest. You're welcome anytime. Thanks so much for coming in.
Thanks for having me. You guys are great.
It's almost too much, by the way, looking ahead to tomorrow's all-new Kevin and Bean show. Duff McKagan, bass player for Guns N' Roses, has a book out. He'll be joining us tomorrow to talk about that.
Yeah, I wonder if he has any stories.
Adam, I doubt it. Sounds like a pretty low-key, boring band to be in. Adam Carolla on the show with This Week in Rage. We've got an actor from the American Horror Story, which is another one of the shows that's coming out that looks so awesome, by the way. How about this? How about Joseph Gordon-Levitt on the show tomorrow?
Wow.
Does he know that it's our show?
From 50-50 and, of course, Batman and everything else. He's awesome. We've got him on the program. A medium. Talking to you about crazy things that no one should believe in tomorrow on the show.
Bean's very excited about that one.
Uh-huh.
And of course, more. Right now, though, I don't know if you saw the controversy yesterday, Kevin. If you tuned in for the Monday Night Football game last night, which I think Indianapolis lost again without Peyton Manning.
Yeah.
I think they're 0-4 now. They lost to Tampa, I want to say, last night on Monday Night Football. There was something different. For the first time in 20 years or something like that, Hank Williams Jr. was not singing Are You Ready for Some Football at the beginning of the game. Why? Because he'd been fired by ESPN, even though he doesn't work for them, because of comments he made in an interview yesterday on Fox and Friends. Now, this is a Fox News show that they have in the morning where they have guests on talking about things, usually politics. And for some reason, they decided to invite Hank Williams Jr. on to talk about politics. I don't know why they thought that was a good idea, but here's a little bit of what happened.
He comes from country music royalty, and he's been the voice of Monday Night Football for over 20 years. But it's not all about music for this country superstar. He knows a little about politics, too.
That's right. And join us right now to break down the 2012 GOP field is country singer superstar Hank Williams Jr. Good morning to you, sir.
By the way, why do you have Hank Williams Jr. on to break down the 2012 potential nominees for president?
I can't imagine.
Baffling.
I don't know it. And why such a big introduction if there's just two of them in the studio? It sounds like
hi there, guys.
Where are you?
Oh, I'm sitting here in Nashville. I'd rather be there looking at Gretchen.
Well, there you go.
I love that comes out of the gate hitting on Gretchen. And by the way, this is Gretchen Carlson, who you remember used to be a local LA Channel 2 reporter, the one that that Ralph may have walked in nude on, if you remember, in our studio many years ago. So you know how very attractive she is. So I love how Hank's coming out of the gate hitting on her, which I have a lot of respect for.
He's the Bean of that group.
How dare you?
Well, good morning to you, too.
Yeah. And I have no idea what that, I don't know what kind of bells and whistles they've got. I mean, you don't think of Fox with, I mean, like, what's that about?
I don't know. I like it.
All right. So let's get into the interview now.
I'll start with an easy question. Who do you like in the GOP race?
Nobody.
Nobody?
You remember the golf game they had, ladies and gentlemen?
Yeah.
You remember the golf game?
Okay. Now, the golf game that he's referring to, the golf game is when they had this big budget crisis, remember, and everybody had to compromise, and President Obama got together and played golf with Mr. Boehner, who's the Speaker of the House.
Yes.
And Joe Biden was there, and another Republican, I think the governor of Ohio, was there. And
was Joe Biden his caddy?
I don't know about that. I doubt it. So it was basically, it was the two sides getting together in a non-confrontational way to just kind of talk and connect as people and, hey, let's be friends and try to find some common ground, which I think most people looked at as, hey, I mean, don't you think most people looked at that as a positive thing?
I would.
That you would, I mean, you would not want them to be in their separate corners and not talking.
Right.
Well, Hank Williams Jr. incensed that that meeting took place. He couldn't be more furious about it.
Boehner. That was one of the biggest political mistakes ever.
Why?
That turned a lot of people off. You know, watching, you know, it just didn't go over.
What?
You mean when John Boehner played golf with President Obama?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Now, is he retarded or what's going on here?
I was going to ask if he's drunk.
He does sound like he might be drunk.
He's on a whole different wavelength than everybody else.
And you can, and these guys are on Fox, by the way, and he still doesn't make any sense to them. Now, why is he so upset that these guys played golf? That's what we're trying to find out.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And Biden and Kasich, yeah. Uh-huh.
What did you not like about it? It seems to be a really pivotal moment for you.
Come on. Come on. It'd be like Hitler playing golf with Netanyahu.
Okay. Now,
what?
Now,
who's Hitler and who's Netanyahu?
If there's one thing that we've learned, it's that people are very sensitive to bringing up Hitler in any kind of context. Now, I don't think, I mean, look, a lot of people in ESPN, as I said, fired him from the Monday Night Football job. I don't think that he's making a parallel that President Obama is Adolf Hitler. I don't think that is what he's saying. I think what he's trying to say is that people who are that far apart in their beliefs have no business getting together and trying to find common ground because it's not possible.
But they run the government.
I think. I know, but they run the governments. 50 years apart, by the way. I don't know how Hitler's ever going to get together with Netanyahu, but that doesn't make any sense either. This doesn't make any sense on a lot of levels.
Is he Republican?
Oh, hardcore.
Hardcore. Okay.
Hank is hardcore Republican.
Fox, right. Okay.
Right. Right. So he's super, super pissed at the Republicans for meeting with the president, as you say. But maybe not the best choice of words. The Hitler is what sunk him. That's what got him off the, are you ready for some football? That's what, but he does go on. He's not done yet.
Okay.
Okay.
Not hardly. In the country this shape is in, the shape this country's in, I mean.
Whatever.
No.
I don't understand the analogy, actually.
Well, it's.
Well, I'm glad you don't, brother, because a lot of people do.
So the Fox hosts are saying, I don't even understand that analogy. And he says, yeah, I'm glad you don't, because a lot of people do. What does that mean?
I don't know what that means. And these guys are from Fox, so they're generally right-leaning, right?
Mm-hmm. Right. But also they're not just co-signing to whatever their wacky guest says either.
No, they're
challenging
trying to,
him on it, which they should.
No, they're trying to get cut bait. They're trying to cut him loose with the whole Hitler thing. You're talking about Hitler. We don't understand.
And I hope at some point there's somebody going, why are we having Hank Williams Jr. on to break down the Republican
nomination?
Well, that
should have happened before they ever asked him. Although now all I want is to ask him.
Well, you know, they're the enemy. They're the enemy.
Who's the enemy?
Obama and Biden. Are you kidding? The Three Stooges.
Okay, now.
That's only two people.
I'm not sure how Biden and Obama are the Three Stooges. Again, every time Hank Williams Jr. talks, I have more questions than I have answers. And they do call him on that.
That's only
the
two.
The one that makes the most sense is Herman Cain.
Okay, so now he switched gears. And now he's talking about who he likes of the current. That was the original question, if you remember, a minute ago. Who do you like?
And derailed everything with Hitler.
And the Three Stooges.
And the Three Stooges. Which,
and how rarely do Hitler and the Three Stooges came up in the same interview, right?
I saw Hitler and the Three Stooges last night at the Troop. They were really good.
Because last time around, you were a supporter of Governor Sarah Palin.
Boy, was I.
Do you want her to get in this time?
I don't know.
Okay, there you go. Great political commentator, Hank Williams Jr., for your enjoyment.
Wait, so now he's no longer Are You Ready for Some Football guy?
Well, they didn't show him last night, and they said, look, I know he doesn't work for ESPN, but he's closely associated with this broadcast, so we're not going to use him. And I don't know if that meant this week only. I don't know if that meant till the heat's off, till he comes out and apologizes, or if he's sunk for good. I don't know.
I want him to be on Fox and Friends or whatever that show was every week.
They should just add him to the morning show cast.
Sweet. It's getting more like communism, saying we're going to do this and do that.
Oh, who's better than Jack White?
Bar Raffaelli.
Yeah, when you put it that way, okay. I guess. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show on a Tuesday. Somebody in the Kevin and Bean family is about to be a proud father or mother.
will explain and try to talk him or her out of it. Coming up after the top of the hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show. First, though, Ralph joins us for the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
Before I get to Showbiz News, I do have some passes to give away. This is a very cool event. These are passes for the red carpet world premiere of The Thing.
Yay!
Happens Monday, October the 10th.
Looks so good.
Yeah, it sure does. It is a prequel to the John Carpenter version, the first discovery of the creature that wreaks havoc up there in the Antarctic, where the...
Don't go there, by the way. That's my answer.
There's a lot of reasons not to go there, least of which is creatures under the ice. Mary Elizabeth Winstead stars along with Joel Edgerton. Great, great cast. If you'd like to go to the red carpet world premiere of The Thing, call right now, 1-800-520-1067. First two callers who get through at that number will get a pair of passes to attend the red carpet world premiere on Monday. And if you don't win, don't feel too badly, because the movie's in theaters everywhere on Friday the 14th. So you'll be able to check that out then. The Simpsons may be canceled.
What?
Yeah.
No.
Fox talking about canceling The Simpsons due to a bitter contract dispute between the cast and the producers.
Oh, doesn't this happen every time it comes up?
Yes. And by the way, they're making, at the minimum, $500K per episode.
Yes. It's hard to feel bad for
that's
them.
A great gig.
However, Ralph, Fox, you've done quite a bit of voice work with The Family Guy.
Quite a bit.
It's a it's an exhausting 168-hour week job, though, laying down your vocal tracks for a cartoon, right?
No, it's not. It's a very fun, relatively easy gig.
They get residuals on top of that, right?
Yes, they do.
But you go in at like 4 a.m. and you don't get out of there some nights till midnight, 6 or 7 days a week, right?
No, you go in for a little bit, just to usually, you know, a couple hours, and then you're out.
Sweet.
Yeah.
That's a good gig.
It is a real good gig.
So they're holding out? They're saying we want more?
Well, Fox is coming out and saying, look, the economy's in the dumper. You know, yeah. I love how the corporations that are making billions of dollars are always the first ones to say, oh, no, the economy. It's not us. It's the economy. I think they're still a little chapped in the ass after the last contract dispute. So this time around, they're asking that they take a 45% cut in their salary.
45% cut?
Yeah. Now, the Simpson cast is coming back saying, I'll tell you what, we'll take a 30% cut. But you got to give us a little something on the back end with the merchandising and the syndication money and everything else. Give us a little taste on the other end. And so
well, it seems fair.
These two positions are diametrically opposed to each other. Nobody seems to be budging. And so the rumor has it that Fox may say, you know what? We got 20 years in the can. Thanks.
We'll keep running them.
Thanks so much. Yeah. See you later. We don't need any new ones. So it could be goodbye to television's longest running situation comedy.
Or it could be time for Anne introducing Ralph Garman as Homer Simpson.
Yeah.
And Lisa as Lisa.
Why not?
So we'll see what happens there. Here's a interesting statement. You know the show Hung?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Thomas Jane stars in a show called Hung over there on HBO. He came out with a very interesting, and I think brutally honest, and perhaps unnecessarily so, interview this week where he said that he... When he was a starving actor, he was 18 years old, living in his car. He said he was not above male prostitution for gay sex.
Really?
He dabbled in that as a young actor.
He was working Vaseline. What was it called? Vaseline Alley? Remember that? Who did we talk to, Bean, that said that he worked Vaseline Alley in Portland?
I don't know. An ex-boyfriend of yours, I think.
I don't know. It was one of our guests.
I don't know. I don't live in
Vaseline
Portland.
Vaseline Alley.
Yeah, so he said that he dabbled. And he said he was young. He was experimenting with his sexuality, so it wasn't an issue. He said it opened his eyes to a lot of things. And he said, look, how do you know, unless you taste the food, that you don't like it?
That's one way to put it.
The other side
he's been
is,
married twice, by all accounts. He identifies as heterosexual now, but I thought it was interesting that he would be that forthcoming to say, yeah, when I was 18 years old, I would screw around for guys for cash.
I mean, take some guts.
That's a lot to admit all in one fell swoop.
Yeah.
Did anyone find this out?
No.
Or he just offered it up?
It was just in a conversation about sex and sexuality. Of course, on the show, he plays a male prostitute for women. And so in the course of the conversation, he was talking about sexuality and prostitution, and he made that admission, which I think is remarkably secure on his part and forthcoming. And I think it's good for him.
Okay.
So, just going to say, acting is all not all the glamour you think it is. When you're 18 years old living out of your car, you know, trying to get a guy to buy you a sandwich in exchange for a little... and a little... You know what I'm saying? Today's celebrity birthday is Anne Rice. She's 70. She writes those books about those people who do that thing.
The vampires.
The vampires.
Mm-hmm.
They suck it up.
They do.
Just like our suck it up blood drive.
Next Monday.
Cannot believe they turned down my suggestion.
What was your suggestion?
Kevin and Beans drain the main vein blood drive.
I like it.
Drain the main vein.
May have given people a different idea
what
it is, though.
That's what I'm saying. Hey, it can work on many levels. That's
maybe,
all I'm saying.
But I'm saying maybe when you're down there accepting the gifts of people, that's not what you want them to misunderstand is what I'm saying.
I'm just saying. Uh-huh. I'm going to be hosting in the morning, so I will still, you can still okay. drain the main vein if you want to come down and see me. That's what I'm saying. Susan Sarandon is 65 years old today. Christoph Waltz is 55. Russell Simmons turns 54 years old. Liev Schreiber is 44. Alicia Silverstone is 35. And Rachel Lee Cook celebrates her 32nd birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. Every hour on the fives or as close as we can get. This hour, it's the 9, 809. call, be caller 5 right now, 1-800-520-1067. You can go to see Foo Fighters at the Forum October 13th or 14th. Good luck. It is 809.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show on a Tuesday. The King of Magic Award. What does it take to win that? I don't know why we care, but we'll be talking to the guy who hands it out next year on the show. Also, the most decorated freestyle motocross rider in history, Brian Deegan, joins us later this hour. And next hour, would you vote for a fat guy for president? All right. I guess it's out there. I guess it's official. I guess it's announced. I guess it's not a secret anymore. Ladies and gentlemen, DJ Omar Khan joins us here in studio.
That's what's been announced that everyone knows?
Yep.
No, just introducing that DJ Omar Khan is joining us in studio. And by the way, he is the best damn DJ you'll ever hire.
DJ Omar Khan.
You can go to, what's your website, Omar, if people want to go and book you to play an event?
DJ Omar Khan, DJ O-M-A-R-K-H-A-N, or you could go to kevinbean.com, and there's a link there, too.
Oh, Gorda, okay. Go to noflylist.com.
There's 10 different guys.
Omar does a fantastic job of DJing all different sorts of events. He's amazing.
As long as you request the songs he likes.
Yeah, like Chicken Dance and YMCA. I'm not going to play that for you. So
you might want to listen to what we're about to play, too, before you book him.
How dare you?
He sat us down the other day in the office,
yeah.
And he said, guys, I have some news.
Uh-huh.
And we all said, yes. And he said, my wife's pregnant, and we're going to have a baby.
That's right.
And our first reaction was, oh, no.
Yeah, there was like this dead silence for about 10 seconds.
I think Alex tried to fake, hey, congratulations.
Hey. Well, the silence is, I'm glad you brought that up, Lisa, because the silence was very awkward because you know from everything you've learned as a human that the proper response is, that's great, congratulations,
right.
We couldn't be happy. But you also know what a terrible, terrible idea it is, and you don't really want to encourage him.
Look, Omar is
awesome.
Awesome.
Thank you.
But I have a few clips that might help you get a sense of
how awesome a dad I'm going to be.
Who Omar is. Yeah, I made Omar make a jingle about himself.
Omar's going to be a bad dad.
Stop your crying.
So it doesn't seem like that's going to go well. Here's a clip from Omar. We can't even identify what this was from, but it's just typical Omar.
Hey, everybody. I don't want to go through the whole thing, so I'm going to do my blah, 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 blah. Shut up.
Yeah, that's him.
That's how I'm going to reason with the kid.
That's him.
Just tell him to shut up.
You know, Omar hates the Salvation Army because of the little bell ringers.
Oh, I forgot.
So we had this conversation.
Will you give them money at least once this year to counteract this
negative? If they let me in their bucket.
All right, I'm not sure that's the guy that needs
money. Omar's going to be a bad dad.
Stop your crying!
Remember Let's Bait TV?
Yes.
Remember that guy used to run on a treadmill?
Make blended drinks.
And he did
and paint.
And paint.
He did it all at the same time.
He did it all, yeah.
And Omar wanted to be on the show so bad. And when he got on there, I'm going to play a clip. You're not going to understand any of it.
Nope.
Because Omar, who's been in broadcasting now for 20 years, doesn't understand how to work a microphone.
Yeah.
It's completely distorted, but he's out of his mind at this point.
Yeah, I was so drunk.
By the way, you can look it up. Can they look up Let's Paint TV?
Yeah, totally. Okay. Yeah, look up DJ YouTube. Omar Khan, Let's Paint TV, and it'll pop up on YouTube.
Yeah, we know you're faster, John. You know you got your New Year's resolutions is you got to go faster, John. Faster, John. Faster.
So the guy's running on a treadmill, and Omar's trying to get him to go faster.
Yeah.
But there's no way to understand what he's saying.
That's a guy who needs a sedative, not a baby.
Right.
Absolutely. And that's then and you got to watch through the entire Let's Paint TV because at the end of it.
You did set off fireworks.
I set off fireworks, and I almost lit him on fire.
Yeah, that was sweet.
Yeah.
And then after that, when somebody else was driving him home, he left me a message.
Hey, Kevin. This is Omar. You're a happy holidays. All right, Let's Paint TV and all that bullshit. It was you. Pick up your cell phone.
So that's Omar.
Oh, yeah.
DJ Omar Khan.
He's the guy that did our Glee update for a while.
I want to take a on Glee so freaking bad. Little Precious, I really want to stab.
Now look, I understand that I'm coming from a position of, hey, maybe that guy shouldn't be a daddy.
Uh-huh.
I get
yeah,
that.
Yeah, totally.
I totally get that.
All right.
But Omar is like,
come on.
He's me supercharged.
So much worse.
Right?
So
I'm
going to
play all
that
this for my kid. I'm like, man, I was super talented
no,
back in the day.
No, you're not.
There's a level of anger that Omar has that, beyond.
Be all right.
Yeah, that's the scary part.
Here's my question, because I'm listening to this Omar retrospective, and it seems like you hate people, and you hate everything about people. Mm-hmm. Why do you want to bring another person into the world?
So I can hate on him, too. Or her.
Yeah. That's a terrible way to start.
Omar's going to be a bad
Stop your crying!
No, yeah, Eric. Hey, what's up, man? It's Mr. Khan, dude. Yeah. I need you to take care of something for me, man. Yeah, I got these guys. I want you to double-cross for me.
Now we look ahead and we think to ourselves, hey, what will he be like with a young teen at some point? He is going to have a young teen at some point.
Yes.
Perhaps she will have sung a song. Perhaps it's an annoying song called the Friday Song.
You have to know that those lyrics are ridiculous.
Well, I mean, they're simple.
What comes after Thursday, Friday, then Saturday, then Sunday? Am I going to sit in the back seat, the front seat?
Just
say the lyrics are dumb.
Would you say dumb?
I'm going to call my kid out on their BS. I'm sorry. I'm going to have to do that.
I'm down with that whole interview.
All right.
But how are you going to handle a teenager is the question.
That's a good point.
Not well. Yeah. This is his interview with Everlast.
Speaking of guitar, you know, you had, you know, one of your biggest hits that we play on K-Rock.
That song.
The name escapes me. What's it like? Sorry.
What it's like.
What it's like.
That guy's going to be a dad?
Yeah.
That's not, that's not.
That's tremendous.
Omar's going to be a bad dad.
Stop your crying. Remember when we did St. Patrick's Day and we couldn't get Omar to shut up?
Oh, my God.
Wasn't that the last live broadcast we were allowed to do?
Yes.
This is the one that our boss, Mr. Weatherby, heard and said, you will never broadcast live again. And here's a little bit of why. This is at the end of the show.
Yeah.
Ralph's doing the very final Showbiz Beat on St. Patrick's Day. And perhaps we had a taste.
Yeah, perhaps.
Come on.
What up, Omar?
I am so glad that we're heading into the end of the show. It's getting ugly.
Can we cut Omar's microphone? Shut up, Omar. This is why we don't bring him.
Thank you so much.
Listen.
This is why usually we say, oh, Omar was there and he was swinging from a tree and he had sex with a monkey and stuff. And he goes, oh, no, I wasn't there. I was back in the studio.
Right.
Because when we let him out of the studio, this kind of stuff happens.
He really does that. Yeah,
yeah, that's right.
All right.
No,
what are you talking about?
No, your microphone is turned off now.
Shut up.
We have no room for you.
All right, listen. It's time for one last check of the Showbiz Beat.
This is the end of the Kevin and Bean show here.
Take a shot!
At the Casey's Irish Pub,
right? We had a little, but... And so we turned off his microphone, and that wasn't enough. He still had a sound effect.
Speaking of whores...
Stop playing that!
Must you hit the horn every time? I said whores, not horns. No, I said whores.
Omar's just upset that his microphone's off.
Yeah, I guess so. Ashley Dupree, who was the whore,
right?
That New York Governor Elliot.
So that happened, and then
that's good comedy timing, dude.
And then afterwards, he went. If I recall correctly, he went behind the bar and started pouring drinks.
Yeah, I got kicked out.
And the security looked at me like, "What should I do with him?" I said, "What would you normally do?" And he said, "Throw him out." I said, "Throw him out." So he threw him out, and then Omar got back in.
Yeah.
So you're going to be a dad, is what's
gonna
happening.
It's going to be awesome. Are you kidding?
Omar's going to be a bad dad.
Stop your crying.
Be the best dad.
Some controversy in the world of magic, Kevin. Set this up before we go to our guest.
Well, we like to have Penn Jillette on from time to time, and we had him in recently for his new TV show, and we ran by him the idea that David Copperfield received the King of Magic Award, and we had never heard of it. He had a party. Apparently, the King of Magic Award was stolen at his party for being the King of Magic. You can't be much of a king if people are stealing your stuff.
Or another magician friend just made it disappear and it's still there. We don't know.
So we had Penn Jillette in and we asked him about the King of Magic Award and how come he's never won it and was it really stolen?
I don't even know this. I know, David. I live in Vegas.
Maybe the story is completely false.
You just have better information than I do.
Probably not.
Someone stole what? His kinghood?
Stole the whatever crown.
How
do I know?
Where is this magic?
You're the magician, not me.
There is no monarchy in magic. It's just hype. It's show business.
There wasn't. There is now. So that happened, and he didn't know anything about it, so we were mocking it. And the guy apparently behind the award, who gave the award, is on the phone with us.
Oh, wow.
The national president of the Society of American Magicians now joins us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. An organization, by the way, that's been around since 1902. Vinny Grosso, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. How are you, Vinny?
Good. How are you?
Very good. Do we call you Mr. President or Vinny, or what? How would you like to be addressed?
Your Honor?
Vinny is fine.
All right. Vinny's fine. Okay. So you're the national president of the Society of American Magicians, and that's a real thing, and that's a big deal, and that's something that all magicians know about, right?
Yes.
All magicians except for Penn Jillette?
Well, no, he certainly knows about this.
He knows about this. He just didn't know about the award, maybe.
Yeah. What is the King of Magic? Is this new for your organization?
Yes. It's the first time we've awarded this.
Why did you go with King? I mean, are there princes? Does he have a court? Does he rule?
No, we didn't. And we didn't change the organization to a monarchy. It's similar to Michael Jackson being the King of Pop or
right. But he named himself that, right?
Yeah, he gave himself it. All right, tell us how you came up with the King of Magic Award and what it is meant to represent. And do you give any other awards, or is this the only award you give?
No, it was actually just a tag to the Magician of the Century. We named him Magician of the Century for the 20th century.
Okay.
And it was just another way to give him kind of respect for his accomplishments.
All right, but Magician of the Century, that's not enough? Like, that's a pretty big award. That's 100 years.
And he wasn't even alive for most of those years, and he's still the King of the Century, or the Magician of the Century.
Tack on the king?
He's making a case for the next century, too.
So he's the King of Magic. What was this award that we heard about that was stolen? And were you at the party where it was stolen?
Yes, I was at the party. He had a party. It was his birthday. He was receiving Magician of the Century and King of Magic from the Society of American Magicians. And he also had a 14-page spread in Fantastic Man, and it was Fashion Week at the time. So there were a lot of people from the fashion industry there. And
Bean, what is Fantastic Man magazine?
I have no idea.
What is that about?
What is that, Vinny?
It's a fashion magazine.
Oh, okay.
Oh, it's fashion. Okay.
It was Fashion Week in New York City. So.
Okay. Okay. So the party was in New York. Now, just to be clear here, if I'm playing police officer, the Magician of the Century Award and the King of Magic Award, are they separate physical items or are they combined into one?
Is there a crown?
It was one and the same. We gave him Magician of the Century and proclaimed him King of Magic.
All right. Okay.
When you guys say King of Magic, I have to know this. Yeah. Immediately following the words King of Magic, is there some snickering? Because if not, that's absurd.
You know, I obviously I have a lot of peers in the magic community, and I have had people ask me about that. But when I explain to them with regard to Elvis and Michael Jackson,
that doesn't help.
Kind of made sense.
He's Michael Jackson. He's Elvis. This is magic.
But you see what they're saying. They're saying somebody who's so far above and beyond their peers that you have to. They are the undisputed king. Yeah, like Aaron Rodgers is the king of the quarterbacks right now. There's nobody who's close, right? Well, maybe Tom Brady. But I'm just saying.
Yeah,
you're
right.
So
that's
far,
the point.
You're so far above.
I'm a Jets fan, so I have no comments on that.
Okay, so you were at the party.
Yeah.
What do you think happened to it, and how was it discovered that the award was missing?
Well, I got a call from David a couple days later asking me if I took the award with me when I left. and I said no, I didn't, and asked him if he knew where it was, and he didn't. The party, obviously, there were a lot of guests that from Fashion Week and a lot of people that he knew and didn't know. So he did have a couple security people there. And his penthouse is just, I mean, there's so many relics of extreme value.
Right.
But the only one that was the award was left on the or by the fireplace. So it would have been very easy for someone to grab and walk out. With
How funny is it that you named that guy the king and then someone took that?
Yeah.
That's awesome. That person is my hero.
Our organization offered to, replace it for him, but he,
have a little self-respect.
That one has sentimental value to him, so that's he really wants that specific one back, so.
Yeah. Is there a reward being offered for its safe return?
David put a $50,000 reward on it, so I kind of wish maybe I took it and gave it back because
make him another one. What's he gonna know? It's the first one that's ever been made.
$50,000 reward for something that probably cost you $200 to make.
They got it at Burger King.
it's the highest award we've ever given out.
So of course.
It's very meaningful to us as well.
Right. So of course. Yeah. Look. Most people aren't crazy about magic or don't spend any time thinking about
magic.
It's
worse than that.
But if you're into magic, being the magician of the century, being the best of all the people who have practiced magic in the 20th century, that's a pretty impressive honor.
Right. Magician of the century is huge. King is stupid. Right? I mean, admit that that's stupid. He doesn't have any subjects. He doesn't rule on anything. If they have a magic dispute, they don't go to Copperfield.
No, and he doesn't have, it's not a monarchy with
right. There's no queen
rule, but it is it's a tribute. I mean, the guy sold $3 billion.
Hey, he's successful. You can say that.
Hey, I've seen his show. I mean, it's very impressive.
But you called him the king, and that's ridiculous.
All right, the king of magic is what caught our attention. But I'm glad that we had you on, and I do hope that somebody turns up with the award. The national president,
please, Society don't give it back
of American Magicians, Vinnie Grosso. Thanks so much for coming on the Kevin and Bean Show. We enjoyed talking to you.
Thank you, guys.
Thank.
Ryan Deegan is a true pioneer of freestyle motocross. He knows to stay on top of the sport, the price can be enormous. You've heard the saying, put your life on the line. For Deegan, this has become a way of life.
Backflip from the last time when I crashed and lost my kidney, so it's pretty cool.
I'm dying. Like, I felt in my head, I knew I was dying.
And I'm jumping over four sharks.
Deegan with the 360 on a 250 dirt bike.
I love Supercross. My life was Supercross for a long time.
The doctor says, is there anything you want to say, to your family? I'm like, because I was probably, he's telling me I was going to die. And I just remember getting, when I got put under, I was like, please God, if I live through this, I'll never be bad again.
Yeah, I think where I am today is like, I've always had goals of being the best, of winning the most medals. I've raced trucks for over a year now, got me into the four wheels.
The man himself from the medal, Melissa, Brian Deegan.
Yeah, he is the most decorated freestyle motocross rider in history. It's always a thrill to have Mr. Deegan back on the Kevin and Bean Show, and of course, the general of the Metal Militia. How are you, Brian?
Good. How are you guys?
Very good. Thank you.
So we were just having a conversation about David Copperfield winning a King of Magic award. So let's translate here. You're the general of the Metal Militia. Who else has a title in the militia?
I think everyone has nicknames, and it's just kind of one of those things. You have a group of guys, everyone kind of does nicknames that fit them, and usually the key is though you can't nickname yourself.
Right,
that's
of course.
Kind of cheesy,
Yeah, of course.
So I don't know. Somehow I got the nickname to the general, is I guess just being the guy who kind of leads the troops into the battle.
That's the top. There's nobody above the general. That's as high as you can go in the militia, right?
Yeah, well, in the militia, I mean, there may be, I don't know what would be above that. I mean, the president or something like that.
Do people have to salute you? They have to salute you as the general?
No. The guys, we all see each other as the guys,
We're just trying to clarify.
Well, Brian is on today because he's in town for the Lucas Oil Off-Road Expo, which is at the Pomona Fairplex in Pomona. Now, this is a big one. I mean, I know you do a lot of exhibition-type things and events around the country, around the world now, these days. But this is one of the big ones you do outside of X Games, right?
Yeah, for sure. This is, Off-Road Expo. It's a big thing for me because now my career has gone to four wheels, racing trucks in the Lucas Oil Series. Going for the championships in that series, it's important to me. It's like motocross, but in a 900 horsepower race truck, smashing into each other. It's exciting. And plus, we have a lot of off-road products I'm putting out now that will be at the expo through four-wheel parts and Gibson exhaust. Just a lot of cool products to put on your truck to go to Glamis, Akatia, just kind of where it all originated,
So there are a bunch of vendors there. There's all kinds of vendors there of all this kind of stuff, right? And you're also going to be doing a signing?
Yeah, I'll be signing on Saturday and around 1:30 at the Maxxis Tire booth, which is a big sponsor of mine for the off-road tires, so it's pretty cool.
You know, it's interesting. I think a lot of people would be surprised how big the off-road industry has gotten in recent years. But isn't this an area of entertainment and as a hobby for people that just has exploded in the last few years, right? Lots of people are getting into off-road stuff.
Absolutely. And it's something that's been crazy. You know, I got into it in 2009, and it's grown so much since I've been around, you know, thanks to Lucas Oil really putting on those big events. And it's so exciting to come out and watch. I mean, in one race, you can watch me, Jeremy McGrath, Ricky Johnson, Jeff Ward, you know, all these names are from different eras actually battle together in one race. So it's actually something super cool. Plus, you know, how big Glamis is and Akatia and all those, you know, desert spots. And that's all just kind of bringing it all together.
Sure. Hey, what kind of what's your everyday car like? Do you have one that you drive the most, Brian, just, you know, to go to the supermarket, go to the movies?
Yeah, actually, I was looking for a tank at one point.
Sweet.
I found this street legal tank, and I was looking to get it, but just at the time, it wasn't the best investment. So.
Yeah, well, and mileage, I hear, is pretty low on those.
Yeah, so anyway, I drive a Ford Raptor, actually, so it's kind of fitting with everything I do. Ford's a big sponsor of mine and, you know, a great partner, and we're launching the Octane Academy as a big Ford TV show deal, so it's Ford, always Ford.
Is it difficult for you to not to drive like normal? Is it difficult for you to just sit there and drive the speed limit and not go, hey, I could go around this car in the dirt?
Yeah, unfortunately, I just got a ticket 2 days ago.
Yeah! Yeah,
right. And I couldn't talk, yeah, and it was just kind of just like, couldn't talk my way out of it. It was just straight up, like, got me, dude.
I know that when you're sitting there, look, we all have that moment, Brian, where you're sitting there, and it's that awkward minute before the police officer comes up to you after he's already pulled you over, and you're thinking in your head, oh, my God, please let this guy be a fan. Please let this guy be a fan.
Hey, honestly, like, every so often you'll get a, you know, a police officer that's cool. He's, like, into moto, you know, off-road. He's like, hey, it's cool, dude. And, like, you know, it's nice and lets it slide. But, you know, other times you get the guys that are that are not in touch with any reality of what's going on.
Sure. And that this was that one?
That's why you need to drive with all of your X Games medals hanging from your rearview mirror.
I should, huh? Put it on my plate like X Games champ.
There you go. That's right. All right. Let me give out the information again. For folks who want to meet Brian and all the great people participating in the Lucas Oil Off-Road Expo, it is happening this weekend, Saturday and Sunday, from 9 to 6 Saturday, 9 to 5 on Sunday at the Pomona Fairplex in Pomona. You are going to be signing Brian at the Maxis display, and that's going to be on Saturday at 1:30. You can get all the details, buy tickets at offroadexpo.com. Follow Brian on Twitter, too, at MM General. You're the best, dude, man. Always great to catch up with you. Have fun this weekend.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you. Bye.
Ralph Garman is here for the Showbiz Beat on the Kevin DeBean Show. Ralph, you see your boy.
What?
Please.
What?
Call me the King of Showbiz.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't realize
King
that
of
been,
Showbiz.
I didn't realize you were named the King of Showbiz.
Thank you very much.
Did you see your boy House come back on the TV last night?
Oh, did I ever? What a strong episode to kick off the new season.
It was awesome. And I just kept looking for clues how they were setting it up for the introduction of their pivotal new character in next week's show.
Yeah, Bobby.
Played by our own Ralph Garman.
That's right, people.
On House next Monday night.
Set your DVRs. You don't want to miss this episode of Very Special House.
Is it very special for everyone or just you?
It's important that you see Bobby because he will have a pivotal role in the upcoming plot line.
Is Bobby good enough that they're going to decide to continue the role?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Oh, yes. Not with me in it, but the character certainly is strong. So
because a lot of patients come back episode after episode, right?
First of all, I'm not a patient, so why don't you
stop? Oh, I thought you were.
Just guessing at things you don't know about. How about that?
Who are you?
It does seem like the only guest star on that show. The availability is pretty much
Bobby.
Right? Okay, and what do you do? Are you a doctor?
No.
Are you a patient?
A fireman? Then I'd be Dr. Bobby. Wouldn't I say I'm Dr. Bobby if I was
I don't
a
have
doctor?
Any idea. Don't make me guess, Ralph. Who are you on the goddamn show?
Liza Schneider plays the patient of the week in the episode, and I am her ex-alcoholic boyfriend.
I see.
Okay.
And so I show up at the hospital.
Drunk, I hope.
I've had a few.
Great.
And
perfect
her
casting.
Sister is not happy to see me because the family doesn't want me near her so much.
You're not a good influence.
I am not a good influence.
Do you interact with any of the regular House characters?
I have
Are you in a scene with Odette, for instance?
I have a significant scene with Robert Sean Leonard, who plays Dr. Wilson on the show.
We love him so much.
He is so awesome and such a nice guy, and we had such a blast shooting. And yeah, and I've got a scene with him and also with Liza Snyder, who plays
that's pretty cool
the patient. And
can't wait.
It was a very fun day. It's not look. It's not a big role. It's a moment. But I think there will be less to make fun of than usual.
All right,
for most of my TV performances.
Is that your goal?
That is my goal, to avoid the mockery at all costs.
So next Monday night on Fox, we'll see whatever they weren't able to cut out.
Bobby.
As far as I know. Look, I could have been cut out. I don't know. But I'm hoping not. That's not the case. I think they would have given me a heads up.
Because nice
there are folks over there in the house machine who listen to the show on a regular basis.
Well, clearly, or you wouldn't have been on it.
How dare you, sir? And
just saying.
I like to think if they were going to come out, they would give me the heads up before they allowed me to talk about it for 2 weeks and then turn on the TV and find I'm no longer part of the episode.
It would sort of suck.
It would very much so. It would be a bad surprise. But I believe that my role is still part of the finished product.
I'm looking forward to it.
To the best of my ability. All right, let's talk about, since we're talking about House over there on Fox, more news coming out of Fox Television. The Simpsons may be facing cancellation over contract issues. They are receiving, I don't know if the entire cast is getting this. By that, I mean some may get more. But I know base salary over there, according to reports, is $500,000 an episode. This is for the Hank Azarias and the Harry Shearers and, you know, Yardley Smith and Nancy Cartwright, those types. Fox is in negotiations with them now for a new contract, and they are asking them to take a 45% pay cut.
Oh.
That's a lot. That's almost half.
Yeah.
If my math is correct.
I think it is almost half. You're right there, Kevin. They are threatening to end production of the show if they don't take the cut. Now, the actors are countering with agreement that says we will take a 30% cut, but we want a small piece of the show's back-end earnings, which is billions of dollars in syndication and merchandising and, you know, the empire that Simpsons has built over the past two decades of being on television. No word yet on whether they can come to some sort of agreement or not. If they don't, then Fox may just pull the plug, cancel the show, and say, look, we got 20 years worth of episodes. We've got iconic characters already set up for merchandising, things like that. We can just go on without making any new shows. So that's the potential there. Look, here's the thing. I think Simpsons was groundbreaking and was very entertaining. I think it'd be okay if they said goodbye.
Listen, since Family Guy came around, it's not as funny to me. I don't even watch it.
There's really not much of a comparison anymore. If you look at an episode of Family Guy versus Simpsons. I guess it was a rerun. And it was like, well, Lisa's sure addicted to those Olympic pins. She's buying all those pins. She had to sell her pearl necklace to get more pins. Oh, that Lisa. And then this weekend's Family Guy was like, Brian takes too many mushrooms, gets so stoned that he cuts his own ear off to try to stop World War II. And Stewie's got to talk him down. And he's tripping out, and he's seeing things. And the rest of the family is fighting downstairs. There's a hurricane going on, and Meg is calling everybody out on their BS and the family, and people are crying. I was like, this is awesome television.
It really is.
And very, very funny. So, I mean, Simpsons, I know it was a great show, and I'm just saying.
When Family Guy was around,
everything ends.
It was fantastic.
Yes, it was.
No, it's not so.
Thomas Jane of Hung over on HBO. He told a reporter this week that he was a homeless gay hooker, pretty much.
Well, who wasn't?
We all went through that stretch.
Tells the LA Times, when he was a struggling 18-year-old actor, he performed sexual acts with other men in order to pay the bills. He quotes James Dean, another legendary actor, and says, as James Dean said, you're going to have one arm tied behind your back if you don't accept people's sexual favors. I was a kid out there in LA. I was homeless. I didn't have any money. I was living in my car. And I wasn't averse going down to Santa Monica Boulevard and letting a guy buy me a sandwich, if you know what I mean.
Hey, that's how you got in the house.
You got to eat.
Hey, wait a minute! So, very, very revealing, forthcoming interview with Thomas Jane.
You know, we heard a few years ago, if you recall, Roseanne hooked in the early days of her comedy, trying to get her comedy career off the ground. Remember,
really?
Didn't have any money.
Oh,
yes.
Man,
oh,
way
really?
To bring that right down.
She was doing favors out in the cars in the parking lot of clubs where she was playing.
Come on.
No way. Not ever.
I would so rather be with Thomas Jane than Roseanne in a heartbeat.
Ugh.
sorry to bring down the room.
Wow.
Wow.
While we're talking about disgusting people on television, you know Rosie O'Donnell's coming back.
Yes.
The Rosie Show's coming on OWN, the Oprah Winfrey Network. And she says one of her first guests is going to be Russell Brand, because he's my celebrity crush. Really? Are we going to go through this again? Are we going to through the whole Tom Cruise thing again, where was telling everybody how much she was in love with Tom Cruise, now she's in love with Russell Brand? Isn't that cat out of the bag?
Pretty much.
Well, I don't think she means...
Isn't that genie out of the bottle?
I don't think she's suggesting she wants to have sex with him, just that she's...
Well, that's what celebrity crush means.
Crush means there's
some sort of attraction. Oh, I'm in love. It's not, he's one of my favorite comedians, always one of the funniest men on the planet. Crush.
You object to her using that term, then.
I just think it's just, come on.
Doesn't ring true,
yeah. It's ridiculous. And I can't watch her on television again. I can't.
No.
No.
Look, here's the thing. She had the world by the ass. She had a television show where she was America's sweetheart. She was funny. She was engaging. She gave interviews. And remember, she got bitchy and cranky and angry and preachy. And people stopped watching her show.
Yeah. Right.
But now you know, the curtain's been pulled back. Now you know who that is. How do you watch the TV show again and sit down for an hour and just have a good time, right?
Right. And her previous role has now been taken up by Ellen,
right,
who does all of those things even better than Rosie did. Now we don't need even the old Rosie to come back.
Because by all accounts, Ellen is that person. She's genuinely that person.
Right.
She is funny and nice and kind and friendly and a good time. Rosie, we know the Rosie. We've seen the dark Rosie. We know.
It's true.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Speaking of dark, Anne Rice, 70 years old today. She wrote all those vampire novels. I think she was sort of the architect of the resurgence of the vampire in modern pop culture. That Interview with a Vampire series sure was a big hit.
Yep.
70 years old, Susan Sarandon, who consequently also played a vampire in The Hunger, had a smoking hot vampire lesbian scene with Catherine Deneuve. Oh, come on. By the way, do yourselves a favor. Just find yourself that little piece of footage. That is some pretty good stuff. David Bowie also starred in that movie. That's true, I was in that movie. 65 years old. Christoph Waltz is 55. Russell Simmons, 54 years old. Liev Schreiber turns 44. Alicia Silverstone, 35 years old. And Rachel Lee Cook is 32. I'm Ralph Garman, and walk the showbiz beat.
Thanks for listening to the Kevin and Bean Show here on a Tuesday. A lot of people are unhappy with President Obama. And a lot of people are looking for a candidate to emerge from the Republican side that they can get behind. And there isn't anybody who's just grabbing people like crazy right now.
Seems like there's only nut jobs, by the way.
Nobody's fallen in love with the Governor Perrys and the Governor Romneys and the others that are out there right now. I'll tell you who my guy is Hank Williams Jr. That's the guy that I'm hoping will run for.
It'd be like Hitler playing golf with Netanyahu.
I mean, that's my candidate. It doesn't look like he's going to be running for it today, unfortunately. So a lot of people have been pinning their hopes on a very smart, very charismatic governor from New Jersey named Chris Christie. Well, our hopes have been dashed, Kevin, because apparently he announced this morning he will not seek the nomination to be the president of the United States.
Because he's fat.
And that's weird because he's doing a press conference in 45 minutes to describe why he decided not to run. And I think the leading candidate, the answer is that he's fat. I think he just said I'm too fat to run.
Wouldn't it be funny if he just walked up to the podium and said, fat, and just walked right back off? That would be so great.
I mean, one of the things that people like about him is that he speaks his mind. He speaks like regular people. It's not all politics, and he just, talks like regular guys talk. And it'd be awesome if he could say, seriously, look at me, I'm way too fat to be president. But that's the topic, and we're not the only people who have discussed whether, if he did decide to run, if people would even vote for him, take him seriously as a candidate because of how huge he is. Now, if you haven't seen a picture of Governor Christie, by the way, he's not just overweight. He's huge. I mean, he's obese.
Yes.
That's not unfair, is it, Lisa? He's huge, right?
Yeah, he could drop 100 and he'd still need to lose
weight. Still be overweight, yeah.
Exactly, yeah. Right. All right, who do we have discussing the issue right here?
I don't know.
Okay, let's hear it.
Someone. By the way, we got the Foo Fighters winner, we're going to clear the line so people can call in and tell us if you'd vote for a fat president.
Okay.
My answer is yes.
Governor Chris Christie's profile gets bigger, so does the issue of his size.
All right.
Now that he's a national figure, comedians are starting to make his waistline a punchline.
Take a look. I mean, does he show up? Go to Google Earth.
From late night to daytime talk, Chris Christie's weight is being tossed around.
Can you see him as president?
Can you say no? Okay. Why not?
What you said is because he's hefty.
For a while, they danced around the F word, but then...
I don't think the country's ready for a fat president again.
I think that's ridiculous.
No, you're wrong. I think.
By the way, the initial voice on that report is Candy Crowley, who is a CNN reporter who's been with them for decades. She's so fat. It's so funny that they gave her this story to do. But she's too fat to be on TV, and she's reporting on someone who's too fat to be president. What's up with that? So the question is, do you not vote for somebody because he's too heavy, because you believe that he is showing a lack of self-control? I mean, is the argument that, look, if he can't control his own appetite, how is he ever going to be able to make the right decisions when it comes to running the country? Or, as Kevin has pointed out a couple times, would you be concerned from a health standpoint? Well, would you elect a guy that's so fat that you think there's a reasonable chance he's going to drop dead during his first term and the vice president's going
to
take over?
I think you would use a more of a microscope to look at the vice president. Just make sure.
Yes.
Because the vice president
more careful.
Might take over in that case. But
you know, the other issue is, remember when it was revealed that Obama was sneaking cigarettes? And there
yes.
was such an outcry because that guy is also theoretically supposed to be an example. So if we have the Surgeon General talking about how kids need to stop eating fatty foods and all of that, and then you look at the president.
All right, let's say that he is politically, and I hate politics of all kinds, but let's just say politically he's whatever you believe,
mm-hmm.
and he's got all, everything else is on point. You agree with this guy, he's your man, he's fat. That's his one downside. Do you not vote for him? Or, like me, do you vote for anyone that's fat?
regardless
of their
believe.
Politics.
I think if somebody was absolutely in pocket with the governor's plans for the country, I think you would put aside, I'm afraid of voting for somebody fat because it's better for America to get this guy in there who knows what hell what he's doing. I think that. But I think if you're on the fence about him,
yeah.
who knows? It might play into your decision to not pull the lever for the dude because he's just too fat.
And you got to know that, you know, those when they have debates and stuff, you know how they all get a little chippy, a little snarky, a little ugly. I mean, there's got to be somebody that goes, yeah, but fat. I mean, really, you can almost discount an entire person like that. A bigger person than usual.
Wouldn't the very, very first thing that he did when he got into the White House, though, is rip up Michelle's little vegetable garden?
No,
isn't that
yeah.
like the first thing he would do is say, this is bull. Doesn't have anything to do with that. All right. 1-800-520-1067.
I'm going to bring in four pastry chefs. Let's get going.
Let's talk to Kevin real quick. He's on line three. We'll take him and then we'll come back with your calls. Again, toll free, 1-800-520-1067. You can also weigh in on the Kevin and Bean Facebook page if you want to. Is, even if it's not Governor Christie we're talking about, theoretical candidate, if he's too fat, would you not vote for him or her for some reason? Kevin, what do you think?
I would definitely not vote for an obese president because, first of all, America already has a bad image due to obesity and the laziness of Americans. So,
but we're sad. We're a fat. We're a fat country.
He's representing the rest of us.
Well, yeah, we got a president who looks like us. Finally,
that represents us for not being a fat.
But we are a fat group.
Well,
yeah.
So President Obama is a thin guy, and that's the that's more important than if you would not vote for a fat guy against President Obama just because he's fat?
Yeah, he's President Obama's athletic. He's he's in shape, and I think we need somebody like that, not somebody that other countries can joke about.
Isn't it interesting? Kevin is the guy that we were wondering if he's out there, the guy who would vote based on the appearance of the candidate rather than whether
the appearance,
he's whether or not with
him. Like it or don't, appearance is important.
It's usually important.
And especially in the world that we live in now. Thank you for the call, Kevin.
Yeah.
Of television, and you have to learn how to work the press and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's pretty.
Your hairstyle can make a huge difference to people.
Yeah. Right. Right. Hey, there are some people, for instance, who say Mitt Romney, like the guy, can't vote for him, looks too much like a televangelist. I mean, it's gotten down to that. He looks like a slick preacher on TV. I don't trust him. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Appearance does matter. You're right about that. All right. Too fat to serve. 1-800-520-1067. Your call is coming up next on the Kevin. Ralph has the showbiz. Take that again.
Take two.
Ralph has the showbiz beat coming up in minutes here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Right now, we're talking about an issue that may not matter this year because Governor Christie of New Jersey has decided not to run for president.
But there's still time for anyone else that's fat to run.
Sure, sure. He's a big boy, and the question is on the table, would you vote for a fat guy, an obese guy, or woman for president? Or as Kevin points out, in these days where you got to manipulate the press and look good on TV and look good in photo op situations, is it not possible for a heavy person, no matter how talented they are, to get a job like that? We got a comment on the Kevin and Bean Facebook page, by the way, from Eric, who says, three words for you, William Howard Taft. Now, he's a former president. My three words for you back are 100 years ago,
right,
back when you didn't have presidents on TV. You could be as fat as you want, and people only read about you in the newspapers.
That's
right?
More than three words, just for the record.
Well, and 100 years ago.
Oh,
I
see. Okay.
Being fat was also not a big deal then. It actually meant that you made a lot of money and you could eat well.
Right.
Now
it's a weakness.
You're
right?
A glutton.
All right, let's try, where do you want to start? We got some good ones. Let's try Jason. Jason's on line four. He gets us going here at 1-800-520-1067. Hi, Jason. Thanks for calling the Kevin and Bean Show.
How you guys doing?
Good.
Fat, not fat.
I have not seen a picture of this guy, Chris Christie.
Doesn't matter. Would you vote for him if he's fat?
I would not vote for him just because, you know, kids these days are looking to be president, looking to be, you know, political figures. And if this is the gentleman that we are telling our kids to be like, you know, oh, then it's okay to be fat.
Let me ask a question, though. Do you really think people are looking at the president going, that, hey, everyone, we want our kids to be like that? Is that
they don't think of him as a role model.
No. Right. The parents aren't saying, hey, be like this guy. But the kids are looking at the president.
That's
saying,
the guy
the
in charge.
The country. Yeah. Exactly. And he can do whatever he wants. And if
okay.
That is,
and what he wants is to hit the buffet again.
What he wants is to go back to Burger King for a second time today. Look, first of all, politicians should not be role models for any kids or adults for that matter. First of all, if anyone who would go into politics at this point is a bad person. Second of all, though, what if you liked everything about this guy? He spoke to you and your issues and your family values or whatever it is you go to the ballot box for. You were down with this guy's beliefs. You still would say no because he's too heavy.
I still would say no.
How about that? Interesting. Thank you very much for the call. Appreciate that. All right. Why don't we try, let's try Eric. Yeah, Eric, he's on line five joining us on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, dude, what's going on?
Hey, guys. How's it going? Hi, Lisa.
Hi.
I would definitely vote for Fatty.
You would?
I would. Everyone's going to find a reason to hate anybody running, regardless.
Yeah, that's a given.
He's black, right. He's fat, he's bald, he's whatever. Got a handy from a secretary, whatever.
Okay, good point.
Ralph was saying yesterday he doesn't even think a bald guy could get elected president in the 21st century, by the way, which I thought was interesting.
It you is, have if a you full, look at the but, hairline,
but
yeah.
John McCain, I mean, John McCain is bald, and he didn't
not
pretty,
president.
No, but he was certainly a viable candidate who could have won. Right? I mean, I think he was taken seriously as a candidate despite the fact that he was bald. All right, let's try Valerie. Valerie's on line six. Hey, Val, thanks for calling. What's going on?
Hey, how's it doing?
Good. It's doing good.
It's doing good. I think it depends what kind of fat. Is he big and strong, kind of, you know, just big?
No.
Or is he squishy?
He's not former football fat. He's
exactly.
He's former Limbaugh fat. That's what
exactly,
he is.
Yeah, he's
exactly.
Got hips
I
fat.
I totally would not vote for him because to me he was just like a big squishy baby Huey, and I could just picture him in an oversized diaper crying to his mommy.
Wow.
Wow.
Somebody's got some issues.
How big are you?
All right.
Amy writes in, by the way, and says, imagine the first debate where Governor Christie shows up. If he shows a drop of sweat during a debate, all of a sudden, it's such a turnoff. You can't vote for a fat guy who's standing there sweating, looking like he's losing control. Well, I think we've learned a valuable lesson here today, which is it doesn't matter what the content is of your character, doesn't matter how smart you are, doesn't matter how invested you are in making this country great again. It's that you better weigh 160. That's what we've learned if you want to be president.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and it is 9:38.
Come on, guys, Nirvana, new album. What's keeping you already? Hey, Tuesday on the Kevin and Bean Show, time for one final look at the showbiz beat with Ralph Grammer. What's going on?
Before I get to showbiz news, real quick email. This comes from listener Christian Anderson. He writes, listening to Bean talk to your guest from The Walking Dead, asking her whether or not zombies have sex. What the F? Bean gets creepy again. Well, we hear you, sir, and we appreciate it, but it's nothing we can do. It's just nothing we can do. We got the creepy filter. We got it in place, but somehow we found a...
Creepy alert, creepy alert, creepy alert, creepy alert.
Found some way to circumvent it. I don't know. He's got some...
That made me sound creepy.
Got some alien technology.
Yeah, I know you guys love to pile on Bean. I know that's everybody's favorite game. But
no,
we were
not.
Discussing
zombies having sex. Who thinks of that?
I'll tell you why I thought of it.
Hideous zombies having sex.
Because we were discussing what the particular universe of zombie rules were for The Walking Dead. Because everybody creates their own kinds of zombies that can and can't do things. I was just trying to figure out what goes on with these zombies. Do they procreate and make new zombies? Or can you kill all the zombies and then be free of the zombies? I didn't know.
Zombies,
reasonable question.
Stalking people, eating their flesh. You know, there's the zombie movie etiquette. There's a million things to think about with zombies. Bean, because he's talking to a hot chick from the series.
Do zombies have sex?
Not at all.
And they don't reproduce by having sex. They reproduce by biting someone.
Right.
And
then
that person gets more infected. Zombies.
Yeah.
So it's not piling on. It's you being creepy. Don't turn it back on me. Listener Christian. Listener Christian heard it too. Is he piling on? Is listener Christian piling on?
I think he's taking your unfair cues.
I see. So I've infected him the way a zombie would infect a regular person.
Exactly.
See.
And now you have to have sex with him.
You have sex, the zombie?
Speaking of sex. Oh, wait a minute. I got passes to give away first. Let's do that. I've got passes to give away to the red carpet world premiere of The Thing.
Yay!
Ooh, how big is The Thing? I like to see
The Thing. It is the red carpet world premiere, October the 10th, Monday. You can see The Thing, which is the prequel to the classic John Carpenter version, of course inspired by the original film. Looks to be a great, scary, honked-up movie. You know, our buddy Catherine Reitman, who has that show Breaking It Down, she does the internet video review show. She saw it. She said she thinks she ruined the movie for everyone in the theater because she was screaming so loud.
Sweet.
Yeah, so it's one of those. You got to check it out. I've got tickets to the premiere. It's on the 10th. It's a Monday. Three pairs of passes right now. Callers 1, 2, and 3 at 800-520-1067. That's the number to call. First three callers get through, get a pair of passes. If you don't win, don't dismay because it's in theaters everywhere Friday, October the 15th. You can check it out. Hung. It's a series on HBO.
William.
No. Mm. Thomas Jane stars as a male prostitute with an enormous schwanzstucker. That's how he uses his claim to fame. And they were talking to him about the series, the LA Times was, and he was very forthcoming, admitted when he was a struggling young actor, 18 years old, living in his car, he would perform sexual acts with other men in order to pay the bills.
Too much information, this man.
I actually have the audio from that interview that you've been talking about all day, if you want to hear it in Hung's own words.
Absolutely.
Even with a lot of talent in singing, even with a lot of talent in whatever you choose to do, you still have to put in this hard work.
I mean, it sounds like he took it seriously. Sorry.
Yeah, he did. Hard work. Evangeline Lilly is...
she's a good deal.
She's very attractive. And here's the thing I'm starting to realize. We never knew really how attractive she was because we saw her with no makeup on an island with greasy stringy hair running around in the same clothes for most of her career.
Right.
Now that she's allowed to dress up, put on nice clothes and makeup and hairstyle and everything, forget about it. She was hot when she was playing. Now she's uber hot.
Had to ugly her up so she could play that role.
She was on the Jay Leno show, and trust me, I didn't catch this by seeing the Jay Leno show. Someone sent me this clip, but she used to be a flight attendant. I never knew that. And she's got a warning for people who fly. Don't tick off your flight attendants. Because there are many different ways, much like we talk about often on the show, how waiters or waitresses are handling your food.
You don't want to make a mess.
They can screw with you.
Yeah.
And she was dealing with one particularly rude passenger on a flight. And here is Evangeline Lilly explaining to Jay Leno how she handled him.
One time there was this guy who was really awful to me. And I was really struggling that day because I really had really bad gas.
Bad gas.
And as a flight attendant, you do not let that go when you're in a plane. That would be
almost
really
anyone,
appropriate.
You don't let it go,
yeah,
really.
It's really not just, rude. It wouldn't be kind.
Really not just flight attendants.
So this guy got under my skin to the point where finally I decided to save it all up. When I was walking past him, I let him rip right in his face.
Yep.
Wow.
Oh. She crop dusted him. How about that?
It's a flyby.
That's not what you want.
No. I think she's pretty.
It's a literal flyby.
I'd be okay with that, by the way. Evangeline.
Wait, you find that sexy?
Nope, but if that's what she needs to do, I'm
all close.
To whatever it takes, man.
She is quite the little go-getter.
She sure is. Congratulations to Seth Rogen. He
got married to his longtime girlfriend, Lauren Miller, this weekend. Congratulations. They got married at a hilltop ceremony in Sonoma, California. A lot of funny people were there to toast the newlyweds. Craig Robinson from The Office. You remember him.
Sure. Craig Wilson.
Craig Wilson. I'm sorry. Yeah. Jonah Hill, Paul Rudd. How funny was that reception?
No kidding.
The best.
I want to hear just the toast. I'm sure they passed the microphone a lot around, and there was a lot of toasting going on. James Marsden, he and his wife Lisa are calling it quits. They were married for 12 years, have a 10-year-old son named Jack, so that's sad news. Jenna Fisher, she's got a brand new baby, star of The Office, brought Weston Lee Kirk into the world. She and her husband Lee Kirk were married in July by Jeff Probst, of all people. It's a very strange story. I'm very confused.
I find this not true.
You can't find it not true. It's true or it's not, right, man. And Kanye West is all butthurt.
Why?
Because he unleashed his fashion line. He had a runway show in Paris. And apparently the fashion critics were not kind. So now he's upset. And he's tweeting and being very bitchy and angry with everyone.
Sweet.
My favorite tweet is, I gave you everything I had. This is my first collection. Please be easy. Please give me a chance to grow, he pleaded.
That's before he gets mad, though.
Yeah, right.
It's not really how it works, by the way. It's because you're new at it, all of a sudden you have to be treated as if you're good at it.
New DVDs today, Lion King on Blu-ray, Beauty and the Beast also, Fast Five, Scream 4, and Daft Punk's Interstellar 555. That's available. You can pick that up. New CDs, Radio Surgery by Newfound Glory, Medals by Feist, People and Things by Jax Mannequin, Odd Soul by Mute Math, and The Less You Know, The Better by DJ Shadow. Those are all available for you today. Today's celebrity birthdays, Anne Rice is 70 years old. Chris Sarandon turned 65. Susan Sarandon. He used to be married to Chris Sarandon. 65 years old. Christopher Waltz is 55. Russell Simmons is 54 years old today. Liev Schreiber is 44. Alicia Silverstone celebrates her 35th birthday. And Rachel Lee Cook turns 32. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. Tomorrow morning, an all-new program. We have Duff McKagan from Guns N' Roses has written a book about his entire life.
Duff.
Speaking of which, we're also going to give you a chance to try out for The Simpsons tomorrow to do impressions.
Excellent.
They're having some negotiating trouble.
I need my job.
They're talking about perhaps canceling the show. So if
take my job away.
You do a Simpsons impression, and none of them are as good as Ralph's, unfortunately.
Stop saying that. I need my job.
Also, tomorrow we have Teresa Caputo, who Bean is very, very excited about. The Long Island Medium. He can't wait.
Oh,
she's very excited.
Well, Bean's got a lot of questions about the afterlife.
He loves it.
And the underworld. And the underworld.
She communicates with dead people. She's one of those. She's not a psychic or anything like that.
Here's all I know. You voted no a lot of times, so I voted yes.
Right.
That's how I do things.
It's that season. It's All Hallows Eve is approaching. We need to check in with the underworld, otherworld, overworld.
But isn't it the 21st century? Shouldn't we be letting go of some of these superstitions of the past?
Oh, wow.
Just saying.
Why so bitter, Bean?
All right. Fahrenheit 451, whatever you need.
Who hurt you? Adam Carolla, This Week in Rage. Evan Peters from American Horror Story. And Joseph Gordon-Levitt tomorrow.
Wow.
How about that?
That's a show.
That's a show.
That's all tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin.